Oh, big yawns, big boy yawns.
Yeah, it's Monday.
It is Monday.
If you know that I stream Super Seducer before we do anything, like the night previous, you have to assume I got drunk, and you have to assume I don't feel good today.
That's fair. Hold that thought. The podcast is sponsored this week by Acer, Game From Anywhere. Enter the Predator Triton 700, a gaming laptop that offers impossible power on the go, equipped with a 7th-gen Intel Core i7 processor, an ultra-thin 18.9mm chassis. Discover the Predator Triton 700 today. Go to Acer.com, click on Store, and enter coupon code FRIENDCAST at checkout to receive 10% off.
It'd be faster to inject that, Red Bull into my blood.
Now that business is out of the way, let's move on to pleasure.
Dad, why? Why with that tone?
Yeah.
What's that? What's... Because there's all sorts of crazy word names for mouth stuff. Oh, boy. Fuck. That was great.
Jesus.
There's all sorts... Okay, no, there's stuff like lateral prolosion and all sorts of, you know, specific fancy things that you would do when you speak.
Like, there's
vocal
yes.
fry, right?
Cord parasites.
Right. What is... there's various what is, kinds. What are you doing when you're doing...
It's such a specific area to attack.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing when you're using your sleaze voice? What is that? What part of your throat is vibrating?
Sleaze voice. What kind of sleaze voice? There's different sleaze voices.
The one you just did. You're like, pleasure.
Pleasure.
That's not my thing.
Yeah, that's not...
That's the cheeks. That's all coming in the cheeks.
If Willie actually uses the voice you're talking about, we'd all get blown away like Black Bolt.
Yeah. I mean... Or slowly like puffed away.
Yeah.
I feel like if I knew what voices I could successfully do consistently, then I could maybe be like a Takahata one day.
Yeah. So
I could aspire, but I don't know what I can do.
A few weeks ago, I put out a tweet saying, hey, does anyone know what to do when your voice really hurts? Because I've been doing Ashen the Vioblader voice for like the last 15 minutes. And everyone's like, well, what you should do is do not drink any milk beforehand. I'm like, I drank a lot of milk beforehand. They're like, okay, that sucks. Well, what you should do now is whatever you do not drink cold water. I'm like, the first thing I did was drink cold water. They're like, you're on your own.
Just stop moving.
I ran.
I mean,
you do, don't run.
Hater was doing shots of whiskey.
That was obviously going to be bad long term.
Probably.
It still give you a cool voice.
It can. Did you know? Hey, I used that. They were a buff, right?
Yeah.
Basically, I used shots of whiskey as a buff this weekend as well.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'll baton.
Yeah,
I'll grab the baton and then take the lead here. So Spine Day was this weekend.
Say Spine Day. Oh,
yeah. So a couple of things about this weekend, I guess. But yeah, today this weekend was Spine Day, and that means you're going in, and there's certain parts of the body that just suck more than others.
Teeth.
Teeth suck. Your spine sucks.
Teeth suck, but I don't. In the context of tattooing, I don't think that really.
No, eyeballs. You said like what body parts are bad.
Eyeballs are the worst.
I think fingernails are pretty awful.
I still remember way back in the day there was that crack thing of like tattooing your eyeballs, understanding the horrible decision.
Fingernails are pretty lame.
Mm. You mean like painting your fingernails or like tattooing underneath your fingernails?
No, I just literally mean like for just objectively like stating.
Oh, I'm not useless. A big fan of how they keep growing.
Modern man doesn't really need them for function anymore.
I don't mind ears. They would be like awful, but like ears are generally fine.
Holes.
But you know that part where you feel like the cartilage?
Yeah.
That part sucks.
Yeah?
Why?
I don't like that part.
I'll be honest.
Because
that's the part that can hurt.
99.9% of the time, I'm unaware that I have ears at all.
Oh,
But your ears would flop down without it because there needs to be some type of structure.
It's true. It's just that's the first part part to hurt whenever something hits it, you know?
Fair enough.
Like, the soft lobe at the bottom is totally a fine thing.
Well, if it dangles, we can punch a hole through it.
There you go. Or not, because I've got...
Or a screwdriver.
I've got piercings on the top side as well of that. You can't, like, you can't ever see them because they're covered by dreads.
Yeah, but or Kirby.
But I... Yes, but I don't have dreads. My lobes pierced. I have the top, like, cartilage part pierced.
One of my lobes is pierced, but, like, I haven't done anything with it in a long time, so... Probably closed up by now.
But yeah, so I was down at the with May at Studio Ortiz, and basically I noticed last time, I think I mentioned it, that like when hitting the exhaustion point, a shot of whiskey was like, all right, we're back in there.
That'll kick you up for a bit.
That, yeah, that, and
because
that,
it's horrible?
No, because it like it literally just you feel a little bit more numb. You just feel a little bit more.
It's, so what you're describing is actually less of a buff and more of like a useful debuff.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. But it's what, you know the whole thing about
I
like.
I didn't say horrible as in like I don't like a shot of whiskey. I just meant like how it shocks your body with like.
It's the same mentality behind here, drink this bottle. All right, now we're going to pull the bullet out.
Yeah.
Here, drink this bottle. Now we're going to cauterize the wound.
And then we're going to pour it on the thing we're doing.
Yeah. You know that stuff?
Say it, I've seen lots. Now that I think about it, I've seen lots of movies or comic book panels where someone's getting a tattoo done and they're always swigging like a hard bottle of hardness.
Take a swig of this. We're going to pull that tooth out, et cetera, et cetera.
I fucking wish.
Like all versions of that. Yeah, it turns out, like again, there's just a little some truth to that. And knowing that today was going to be on the center of your back where the bumps are, where there's bone and thin skin, means you're going to feel it. So
how was that?
It wasn't fantastic.
I bet.
But it wasn't the worst thing in the world. Like, by preparing for the worst, you know,
so
ends up being not that bad.
I'll ask you to try and quantify this. There's a really easy way to do this. You ever fucked yourself up and the doctor asks you, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a trivial nothing and 10 being the worst pain you've ever felt in your life.
Yeah.
Where's it at?
So you had pretty much 3 hours of level 3.
Oh, that's...
level 3. But then occasionally when you hit the right nerve, it jumps up to 6.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back down to
it's
3.
It's the time that seems by far the worst part of that.
And so that's what the whole thing is that tattooing is really an endurance run because, like, you're having these little, like just that level, right? Not much more beyond that. And occasionally but you're doing that for just a long period and, like, you're sweating. And you're kind of just like, okay, like... Can I handle, like, just kind of, like, a low-level ongoing thing? And that's where the whole, like, three-hour limit sort of thing kicks in, where you're like, look, I mean, you can just kind of grit down and go through this, but ultimately, like, your body's kind of giving you a sign when you're sweating really hard at stuff that you weren't really flinching in the beginning of the session.
So I have a question for you, a personal preference. Say it's 30 years in the future, and we have some magical 3D-printed super tattoo gun.
Yeah.
And... It can be 3D printed to the size of your entire back, and it is just tens of thousands of micro needles that you just, like a sticker.
What's the trade?
The trade is
that... It costs a lot.
No, same cost, but you're combining every single one of those threes...
Into one shot?
Into one instant.
So one really painful moment.
Okay, so...
Like, it's a 10.
Effectively a burn.
It's a 10 on the scale. It's like a massive, like... But it's over in like a second.
Yeah. Run it. I'm down with that. The whole thing is that, you know, like low level prolonged pain is like, you know, you can tolerate
it's
it, but it's
annoying.
It's a discomfort kind of thing. But when the thing is that like this is like low to mid and it's over the course of hours, that would be massive, but in a second, in a matter of seconds, absolutely go for that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off.
Sure.
I used to rip Band-Aids off the stupid way. And then I had a real bad time with one, and then ever since then.
But yeah, that, you know, so that kind of got through the center lower area, basically. And
so what's done currently?
Right now, what's done is you can't really see much of it in the stencil photo I put out, but the three ladies at the bottom are pretty much done. The center lady just needs her like head and face kind of done in the next time, but the lower, I'd say 35% to 40%.
Oh, cool.
You know,
you're getting there.
Yeah. It's slowly but surely happening, and May's doing great. Kessel runs. This week was also Ribfest.
God, I didn't fucking go.
So Ribfest again happening.
Furious when I found out.
Waltzed on down to that part of town.
It's like I can just eat meat now.
Yeah. If you're keto or carnivore, it's the place to be. Although that barbecue sauce ain't very friendly.
That's
whatever, that doesn't
susceptible
exist.
Susceptible losses.
Yeah, you take the hit.
Well, it was good because I saw that Ariane St. Amour was there, so I was like, good.
Really?
So I didn't have to pre-run away.
Oh, because
if you had the... If it's Ribfest too, then the possibility of just rib face is ongoing.
Oh, boy. Well, that's why... I mean, I went late and I went and did the, like, I'm going to take this to go back to my place situation.
I didn't know you'd do that.
So it wasn't so much the sauces on the beards. It wasn't a lot of that, because that's a bad place to be. They, thankfully...
But that's expected, though.
It is expected, and they give you the roles. They get, like, they come prepared with it, but what if Ariane St. Amour walks around, right? Well, and then you're
hopefully she has rib face also.
That's true, too.
But I had two layers of running. Which is general running.
Yeah.
And then rib face running, too.
Yeah.
So, when you rib face run,
it's very cold because of the liquid.
But it's all, but it's tasty. Yeah. So,
you know. Remember that as you're running away.
There's like, it's like six or seven different huge stands that come out. And I mean, I guess in America, this must be common, especially in the South, but like, we don't really have barbecue competitions up here, right?
Not really.
So the whole thing of like these places coming from out of town and setting up shop and putting up these massive, massive, like trucker style boards, like the Hog Father with like a pig dressed as the Godfather and everything. Okay. It's very elaborate and fun, and they all have these tables of trophies out front, and like whoever has the biggest pile of trophies is clearly the best. So they're all trying to like stack them in such a way that and putting lights on them in such a way that it makes it seem like it's the most. But
when I think about competitions like this or just like fests like this, I always think like, oh man, I hope there's like backstage ska where people are sabotaging each other's shit. Like there's this guy that's sneaking and just puts a whole bunch of bleach in their fucking rib recipe.
I'm sure it'd come out with something nutty that they'd be like, yeah, that's not even that bad.
Well, this is actually the most refreshing ribs.
We put a bunch of mango juice in their fucking sauce. Let's see them.
Oh, shit. And we walked away with like just like a pile of boxes. And then you just kind of sit down and you're like, oh man, this one's the best. Oh, that one sucks. Which ones were the... You know, because in the end, they're kind of just generic labeled boxes, so you kind of don't really know which
reminds
one you got from where.
In that respect.
Yeah,
because you're walking around, go, wow, that was a good beer, and that was a good beer. Where beer? Where me? And where what?
Yeah. Ribfest.
Man, I got destroyed that last beer fest.
Yeah,
because I found a cider. It was a rosé cider that was mixed with wine, and it was like this ungodly percent.
Oh,
and it was good.
Like, but
it
they
just
give
kept
you.
Going back to
well,
me.
That's the thing. They give you a glass, or you're not really supposed to go back. They give you a glass so that like you're supposed to use that to sample and like not get fucked up
and spit it out or some shit.
No.
Like absolutely the beer fest is kind of like aware of the fact that this is alcohol fest, and they set it up as much as possible so you don't get blitzed.
I remember,
but if you keep going back, then you're gonna get blitzed.
Back in the day, when I found out that wine tasting, you were supposed to spit the wine out, and got confused. Didn't understand
what you're supposed to do at beer fest is like taste it, like it, and instead of going back, you're supposed to go buy the case. And carry
or like
that.
Get their card or
and carry that
this
back.
This is my microbrew
ask
choice.
Ask where they sell their stuff. Are you at SAQ? And then I'll go and you know whatever.
Or they usually do have it live there too. You know, so that's kind of the deal. But that was going down. That was pretty cool. Caught a burlesque show this weekend as well. Hanging out with Volta over at. the wiggle room, and that was just like Asian themed.
It was Asian
night. It was just Asian night, Asian themed.
Asian's amazing.
Yeah, and like, and it was just hilarious because they're just like, they're, when they're doing their call outs, they're like, what do you guys, or they're just like, hey, you guys here, are you ready for the show? Yeah. And then like someone, some girl just shouts out like, we're here for the Asians. And it was like, it was a weird like, and it's like, no, the girl that said it was Asian. And everyone was like, that was a weird way to say that. But no, it was a good time. It was fun. And as
the
usual,
closer you get to pornography, the weirder the rules of conduct become.
So, you know, that like burlesque always a fun time. And the Wiggle Room has great drinks. They have great cocktails.
I've never been, so
Check it out. They have some of those fancy ones that use the egg whites in them, so you know that they've got that special consistency.
I've heard of it, I just never been.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
It's on Saint Laurent.
Okay.
And yeah, anytime you see a cocktail on a bar's list that has egg whites in it, like, it sounds like the weirdest thing ever.
Sure does.
But I promise you, it's actually super delicious. It adds like a consistency that is very different from the other normal mixed drinks. Mm. And it just has like a kind of bubbliness to it and a little bit of a flavor that just works. It just really, really works.
It's a madman that decided one day.
All the best cocktails I've had at all of the speakeasies I've been to have been the ones with egg white.
Probably he was like cracking an egg over a drink that he himself was drinking in the kitchen. And then the egg white falls in and he's just like, oh...
Yeah.
Oh no! And then it's like, whoa!
It just, I really do feel like the whole mixology thing is like,
mixology is neat.
Yeah, and like, you know, they were in the lab and they pulled the beaker out, and then someone realized that the same thing that works in culinary arts should work in mixology arts, and then poured a little bit in and saw the consistency.
I like Matt's version better.
Yeah.
I like the idea of like some drunk British guy. He's like 65 in some shithole pub. Going, my eggs.
Yeah.
And then, just fuck it, I'll drink it anyway.
Did you ever see that documentary, Cocktail?
No.
With Tom Cruise?
That's not a documentary.
I'm pretty sure it is, Wally.
Okay, all right, that's fine. All right.
Absolutely okay. Sure.
You know what? This actually might have come from a place of putting an egg in your beer for breakfast.
That... Why have I heard of that before?
It's, you see it in The Wire. All the shoremen do it.
Right.
You have a beer with eggs in it and a shot for breakfast.
That's a whole other thing, though, because that's just not whites. And it's
no,
not,
it's the whole egg.
It's the whole fucking thing. And I'm thinking of, like, Will Smith trying to emulate Rocky. Cracking the egg into the glass, drinking it down, and then it just coming right back up.
It's not the taste, I don't imagine. It's the consistency. It's the texture.
Yeah, I'm a big...
It's the gloop.
I don't like weird textures.
Not to mention smell.
Well, I went out there. I have almost no sense of smell.
There used to be... that was one thing in Grenada was... You know how occasionally you'd catch a skunk? Like somewhere here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All the time.
In Grenada, there'd be like wild roosters and there'd be like hens that are also kind of wild.
Okay.
And like sometimes they just lay eggs and the eggs would just stay there for a while and eventually crack or rot or whatever the fuck happens when an egg just sits around.
Mm.
And then like half a block is just nuked. For like 3 days
of rotten eggs,
because rotten egg that no one knows where it is just there now, and boy is that awful.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, and rotten egg is really like similar to not rotten egg in smell, in my opinion. But you know,
I thought I was the one with the disabled sense of smell.
You need to smell a 10 one time to really like. Yeah, because, like, even if you don't have, like, your disabled sense of smell, right? Because I know what you mean, because I have that, too. It means that your low-level smells, just, you get nothing.
Yeah, I get nothing.
But the intense ones are still just as bad.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I can smell a skunk walking towards me from a block away.
Yeah, and that, and, like, a 9 is a 9 for both of us. The only difference is, like, a 3 or a 2
just doesn't exist. Yeah.
Right? But your upper threshold still exists. It's like your EQ.
This sounds like a useful power to have.
I mean,
though flowers smell like nothing, which is kind of depressing.
That is pretty sad.
Yeah. Stop and smell the flowers. Smells like daffodils, I guess. I don't know. Smells like grass.
I played a whole lot of Spider-Man.
Yeah, you did!
Yeah, I did too.
That's more...
I also did.
...or less what the time was spent doing. Yeah, man. That is a very good... Not doing anything like
new
at all. Thing.
It not just in video games in general, yeah, not.
It's just a really good, time. It's always fun to swing everywhere. Off course, of course, the swinging is the best thing ever. Of course, I'm in love with that. Of course, I just fucking can't get enough, and I'm
I put like an hour the other day but, just swinging around.
But I didn't put my skill points towards as much traversal as I thought I would because
there's
I was
not
looking
much traversal. There's like one or two.
There's
things.
One really good move, and it's the point launch.
Yeah, the point launch is what I was thinking of, and I ended up getting that really late because the other stuff seemed more appealing to me, including like dodge zip and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
and there's
you know?
Like a perfect counter too.
Exactly. So
perfect counter is fucking godlike.
So basically, that's a really solid version of, I guess, the Arkaming stuff, right?
Yes.
Is what I'm told. Yeah. So the no,
I don't find it's very close to Arkham at all. The way I fight.
Okay.
Because I'm using a lot of like, because when Spider-Man counters, he never hits. He jumps out of the way.
That's right.
Whereas
okay, I wasn't
Batman's
even
counter is always an offensive counter.
So,
I wasn't even thinking of the fighting when I said that. But
sorry.
You mean the general structure?
Yeah, I mean the optional missions into like okay, I've had enough optionals for now. Let's go into the main one. Oh, I've unlocked a new type
that
of optional.
Is very similar to City and Night.
Like
Asylum is much more locked down.
I realized like just going across the city, basically that I'm always in the mood for something, and I don't know what I'm in the mood for, right? When I see a crime, I'll go stop it, but otherwise, I'm like, I don't know if I want to chase a bird or fix Oscorp's problems or,
the best,
you know, do a construction site, invasion.
The fucking base construction sites. Like, do I want to fight five waves and have my fingers hurt?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes. Yeah. I'll do them because I want that suit. But
so, like, I'll be swinging around. And I've done it the total opposite of what you're describing, is every single time a unlocks,
yeah.
I clear it out.
Yeah.
And I think that they've nailed it perfectly for both types of players because both types, like, if you're swinging around like, oh, yeah, naturally, you're going to end up completing, like, half the map's worth of stuff just in the course of it. And for me, when I unlock Birdman and it's like, hey, find my pigeons, goddammit, it's like, oh, there's 12! There's just 12!
Yeah, so you can do it pretty fast.
Black Cat, hey, I'm evil, or whatever, I steal things. How many? There's 12! That's so easy to actually do
it
and
is,
manage.
It is, and like, I remember I was just, I just wanted to get the combat system down, so I was like, I'm just gonna go do another construction base.
Yeah.
To just get work at this, and then before I knew it, he's like, okay, how many's left? And they're like, that's all of them, Pete. Like, you did it. You know, I was like, oh, shit.
You'll unlock challenges later. I think there's 5 combat challenges.
So, it's not really too taxing on that in that regard. But it's, again, I just...
But as you go further through the story, you'll get more bases having to do with...
Yeah, yeah. No, so exactly. So I am at that point. Okay, I've gotten to that. And I've progressed further, far enough into the story that I'm like, you know, I'm enjoying what's going on. I like the characters. So far, everyone is like, yeah, you're fine. From the get go, like second one, you're working under Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like, all right, how are we gonna play this out?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so far, I'm like, yeah, this is a nice slow burn.
As you'd hope they would
handle it.
One of my favorite things in the entire thing, how they handled it. They don't push it too, they don't throw. Well, they. You know who he is.
You know what's going on.
You know what's going on, but they it's such a great gradient of where it goes. And I just want to say really quickly, like, I finished the game, and like, having finished the last 2 hours of encounters and fights, like, it has become my favorite Spider-Man media I've ever consumed. And it's mostly due to the story and how Octavius and how everyone's relationships wind up. There's a certain point where it just goes bam, and then you just go, whoa, this is really just interesting the way where this is going, and I don't think you're quite there yet. But
would you
it was kind of like
cinematic.
I mean, I use the term Sony,
yeah,
first party game.
You're not the only person that I've heard say that pretty much exactly.
Yeah,
like it seems to be a very consistent thing of like when this game gets to its final act, it just fucking ramps up.
Young child Pete, Tom Holland is a fun dynamic in the MCU because it's very different from the adults running around doing business, right? That's your unique thing is a child is on the battlefield, right?
I'm a baby. Pew, pew.
The fun of this Spider-Man is the fact that there's been almost a decade of it happening without us.
How many years?
Eight.
Eight, I know.
So, yeah.
Everyone knows.
So the fact that they just go through it like, you know, we all know. And things have moved on in ways that you don't expect since then.
Even compared
is always
to the
a
movies,
fun thing to revisit.
There was never a Spider-Man that was super experienced, knew what was up, was super confident. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not 100% confident when he's Peter Parker. He still stumbles all of his words. But the Spider-Man that's on display here is like...
I got this.
Is even Amazing Spider-Man movies where he's supposed to be a little bit older, but he was still in school, even though Andrew Garfield's like 45. What?
I was just gonna say, like, there's even stuff where I guess it's dumb because it's obvious, but I didn't really realize that, like, you're looking at your newspaper clippings of, like, oh yeah, these are all the bad guys you dealt with.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, there's fucking Fisk and there's Rhino and Gargan and all of them. And then he looks over at Electro, who's another one down there.
I wanted to bring this one up.
And he's like, yeah. Electro's the first time I had to fight somebody that wasn't just some guy in a suit.
Yeah.
It was an actual dude that was superpowered. That changed things a lot. And I was like, that's true.
Like, that's six or seven years prior, too.
I had to rethink my suit. I had to, like...
And you just don't think about that in the context of the Sinister Six and all that. You're like, no, yeah, that's a very different classification of villain because you're not just dealing with, you know, dudes in a suit. And then obviously Sandman and some of the other characters that like take after that are like classics as well. Still but a lot of the rogues gallery is just humans.
Still a lot of the villains that are in here, like they're these guys and they stay those guys and they have a lot of villains that they didn't even touch.
Yeah.
I feel like Spider-Man has three types of villains. He has dudes. Like the Kingpin,
Hammerhead, Tombstone,
but they roll out the ones that are like you less popular, I guess, in this list. So it's interesting.
And then he has elementalists such as Electro, Sandman, Hydro Man, people that are physical property man.
Yeah,
Tombstone even maybe if he's Concrete Man or whatever.
Mega Man villains.
Yes, Mega Man villains.
I even put Rhino in there just because he's like this
muscle man,
based muscle guy.
Guts Man.
And then you have your third tier, which is all the big villains, which is Animal Man. All include Kraven in there.
And Vampire Man.
If they're a super genius too, because there's so many characters that are actually like Otto Octavius is smart. Norman Osborn is smart.
Lizard.
Well, he is and he isn't.
I guess
Doc Connors is, but he's not evil.
I guess.
Yeah, but they're science enemies.
Yeah, they're science
enemies.
I guess there'd be a fourth tier, and the fourth tier would be goo person, which would be the symbiotes.
I don't know. I'd say Hydro Man is a goo person too.
Well, no, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, well, then that other category is like alt Spideys, right?
Yeah.
In a way, they go about things in a really fun way and play on relationships in a fun way as well. That's refreshing.
Yeah.
Single downside so far, is boy, hey, switching off controls for those stealth sections is not fantastic.
No. it's not amazing nor spectacular.
Some of those missions,
You mean in general?
Some of those missions go like, hey, let's catch you up on like what happened to someone else. And you basically do stealth sections as not Spider-Man,
where you lose all of your regular controls
and mobility. you're doing very basic hide around the corner from the flashlight reticle and
takes forever. The first one's really long.
Yeah, because you have to wait for other things to happen.
The second one's way better.
And but like three in. The second one is way better and for, you know, reasons. But Either way, they're all not great compared to normal gameplay. And
which is weird because, just to jump ahead slightly, each of the characters has a final stealth mission. And both of them, for both of them, are great. Okay. Like, it's almost like the culmination of, these are fine, inoffensive, I guess, but they don't really add anything to proceedings. But the last two, and they're both very different from each other, doing very different things. And I'm like, man, I would have preferred just one of these for each of them, or something.
Yeah.
Because all the other ones are like ho-hum. And sometimes I will actually just be like, ugh, I can fucking break this and get ahead. And it's like, because I want them over with.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Then I'll die because I'm like, oh, because
you can't.
No, I've had it. I'm more or less, exactly. There's definitely a couple of moments where I'm like, I'm doing it perfectly. And I'm just like, okay, fuck this. And I cut a corner.
Yeah, you cut a
and
corner.
Then, like, the yellow goes up. And I'm like, that's fine. And it turned out to be fine.
And I love, though, when they're like, they can't make the game too violent, game overs. So it can't be like Leon getting his head exploded or getting
acid. Oh, I haven't. What happens when you get caught?
The one time I got caught when I was, Mary Jane, I was just like, fuck this. And I cut a corner. She's like, no! And then it just goes, bleh, you failed. And like, it's unclear what's happening. It's just, no! It's hilarious.
Can't show Mary Jane riddled with gunfire. That's not good for the kids.
Yeah, so those are a low point. And like the other stuff that it's like just variety gameplay, like, oh, you want to solve these fucking these rotate pipe puzzles? Like, if you're down with pipe puzzles, that's cool. If you're not down with pipe puzzles, just don't fucking do them.
If you're not down with them, there's more than enough research points in the game to get everything.
And if you're not down with the one, like, here's the thing. There's the ones that you do that are optional.
Yeah.
After, like, I don't know what it is, like a minute or two, it'll just say, do you want to skip this? We know this was a bad idea.
Oh, yeah?
And a skip button just appears.
Staring at it for a while?
Have you taken a look at the accessibility options in this game?
I've seen there's a lot of them, but
they
I haven't
They are astonishing.
Them.
They include such things as big fucking subtitles that I have.
Yeah, I did see
they
that.
They are fucking big, and I've been using them because they're great. They also have remove every puzzle from the game.
I didn't see that.
Okay, interesting.
They also have remove all QTEs from the game, or turn all tap QTEs into holds.
Okay.
I mean, look at that stuff.
So the pipe puzzles are fine to me because I've always enjoyed them. Like I didn't mind, like I said, Bioshock 2. You know, I was able to fucking.
I think I might have said this last time though, but there's story ones that actually I feel kill like the momentum of the game, where you're in like
I know which ones you
like
mean.
Not a battle, but like
you really, have to you have to disarm the bomb.
It's you know, because that's there too. And some bombs you don't even have to disarm, like the challenge mode, the challenge missions. You just throw them and shoot webs at them. But like, there's like
into crowded New York.
No, he throws them in the air and then webs them up. Like they thought about it.
Okay, no, the one of the missions I saw was like there's a bomb in that van, and then you just crack the van open, and he grabs the bomb and hurls it down the street like a fucking Olympic hammer.
Yeah,
and it's like there was people there.
No, they
webbed them up. But yeah, I want to say there's three instances where the pipe things came up where I'm like, this actually hurts the tension of the scene because you now have infinite time to do this puzzle. And those are those are the ones that actually only that really bother me.
But because I enjoy those types of puzzles, I didn't mind. What I don't enjoy are the there's these
the bar matching.
The bar matching on like the sort of the rainbow slides.
I hated those at first, but then I started to like them.
Those are not much to me. Like I find them they're just kind of and like the like They're you're basically matching up the lines on a pattern, and then you have to learn how to like subtract and add, almost like slides.
Peter Parker's
over each
a big
other.
Nerd; he's got to do big nerd stuff.
They're not particularly challenging. They just are slow to move the cursor and drag them around. So I'm like, if I could just go, bah, 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 it'd be fine. But you have to slowly move.
It's weird that it uses a cursor at all.
It should just be highlighting these boxes, you know. So those are another downside as we talk about them. Yeah. But you know, again, beyond that, I've been having a blast with it and really controlling it at your own pace. And the fact that like you can do certain types of missions when you want until you're tired of them or until you just don't feel like it anymore. The unlock trees are all like, you got to work to get a full tree, but they're not out of reach.
There's absolutely no way anyone could ever finish this game and not have maxed out every tree by the
well,
end.
Well, you're past where I'm at, and I'm almost maxed out.
There you go. And one huge, huge smart decision they made was being fast, loose, and liberal with the suits is awesome.
Yeah, you get a ton.
This kind of game could have decided to make it like really, really premium DLC only. Get this one suit.
You mean like Batman?
Yeah, because using suits is a huge thing that feels good, right? That's a big reward for a game like this, is different types of suits, because aesthetically it's what you're staring at and enjoying, right? And then it comes with a certain specific power.
What is the suits that you guys have been using most of the time?
You can guess what I'm using the whole time.
I'm using the standard game one, the one with the white spider.
I actually like that one a lot more than I thought.
The American Man?
I want to put that in when I think like a really important story mission is coming up, so I don't look ridiculous. Spider-Man 2099, the white suit.
I haven't gotten that yet either.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Then there's other suits that I can say what their name is, but you might not know. There's like the last stand suit, the homecoming suit. The suit you get from doing Black Cat's missions.
That's the one I've been using.
Is the homecoming suit the yellow jacket?
No, it's from Homecoming.
Oh, just the straight up Homecoming.
Yeah. Well, it has three
Homecoming
suits.
Default.
It has three suits from Homecoming: the Iron Spider, the standard Homecoming suit, and his made up one.
Okay. His trash suit.
I
played the trash one for a bit. The spider armor, the one that looks like he's a Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? There's four spider armors.
Big red armor. Okay, with red plate.
Anti-Sinister Six one.
Yeah, I think that's
looks like
it.
Deadpool, Iron Man.
He looks
Spider-Man.
Like Deadpool and Iron Man.
There's a cool big time one. That's all right.
I went straight from the Mark II one, which is the yellow and black, to the Black Cat one. And
so,
look back.
I mean, I switch occasionally to when I see something I like. Like, I'll do Punk for a little bit, or I'll do the wrestler outfit for a little bit, or whatever.
I didn't like the wrestler one in the game.
I really didn't like it either.
But generally, 95% of the time, if I'm not just testing something out, my favorite Spider-Man of all time is fucking Ben Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Scarlet.
I did wear his.
Always forever. It's all red, and he's got a fucking ripped hoodie over it, and he uses a Sharpie to draw the fucking spider on it. I love it so much. Aesthetically, it's exactly the type of Spider-Man suit I love.
They're still missing a lot.
Clean, no webs.
They're still missing a lot of, like, standard suits that have been in games before, like the silver spider armor that's all shining. They don't have the Scarlet Spider, Scarlet Spider.
There's a bunch of rows that are still black for me, so...
These are ones that are not in the game.
Each of the DLCs is apparently coming with suits.
Yeah, each DLC comes with more suits. Okay. I'm super excited.
But they're fast and loose with them, right? Any game that decides to put these at a premium, they do it because they know that, again, it feels really good to use a different suit and just... take photos and have fun with it.
That's locking like credentials, I think, are a bit ridiculous. One of them is
the
like,
bottom two, like lock ones.
I'm not sure if it's the bottom two, but
one's complete every side.
One's complete everything in the game. That one, that's one of the ones I mean, but I kind of understand in terms of this is the ultimate reward if you beat everything.
Like shit, so it's fine.
It looks like shit. But the other one I talked about, which I think you'd really like when you see it, but that one is like, get 20 tokens of one thing, and okay. It was the one thing that personally I was like, I didn't do that many.
Which token?
I think it was 20 base tokens.
Okay.
I think.
Which suit are you talking about?
I enjoy the bases, so I'm going to begin
that.
It's
the one with a red leather jacket and black jeans.
Oh, I haven't gotten that.
It's soup. That's
that
let
sounds
me know.
Fucking great.
20 base tokens is
a good time. In my opinion.
It's like an entire set of bases.
But here's the thing, right? Everyone can custom build your combat, right? So I saw you talking on Twitter about, like, you're like, fuck the gadgets.
I just go in. I almost never use them, ever.
So
I didn't until I realized, oh, I can level up all gadgets.
I had them all maxed out.
I like using certain ones, not all of them.
I built, so I switched up my build. I respect a couple times, basically, right? And they're all valid. And in terms of just like speed at which you take people out, like I had a spec, and the thing that I prefer is basically just like damage, right? Mm. So damage and focus, so that you're taking on bonus focus.
Are you
focus.
Talking about your mods?
I'm saying put on the focus mod,
yeah.
Right? Put on the
that mod's amazing,
and put on and basically like use your put your skills up so that you get the double takedowns, mm-hmm. and then yep. you just do a series of takedowns.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's what I've been doing for ever since I locked them. It's like air combo one guy. You have enough meter if you did the perfect presses
for like four takedowns,
for like yeah. a couple takedowns,
and that's really cool. That's a valid, speedy way to get through it, right? Yeah. But then I was like, all right, that works. What else can I try? And I went with, let's try, there's these web zip based ones where it's like, you can zip people up without even having to fucking, you know, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try that. And then you buff the zipping so that you can like keep it going.
Yeah.
You make it so that you get the power up, which is you jump in a circle and just web everybody.
Oh, that's Web Blossom.
Yeah, Web Blossom.
And like suddenly every fight just gets trivialized because you just pop that and then throw, and it's done.
For Web Blossom specifically, if you keep using it further and further you go in the game, I find less and less people get webbed up. Like they...
Experts.
Whips. It depends on what type of mission
you're doing. The one gadget that I have found to be extraordinarily useful 100% of the time is impact webbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if anyone is near a wall at all, they're just on it.
Yeah.
The web ball, like the little like the dealie that if you web just throw, ball. It explodes like after a little while. That's just as good as impact webbing.
The bomb,
just slightly slower.
Yeah. And the trip mines take out two people usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Willie, do you want to see that suit? Or do you want this suit to be the one I was describing?
Just show me. Oh, that's fucking good.
He just showed us what's it called? It's just a jacket.
It's called the Last Stand suit.
Okay, that's fucking good. Anyway, the... the gadgets, and I decided to like see, let's see how these gadgets work. I'm like, what's Pat complaining about?
So in the process of complaining, I did learn some things.
Yeah, and I found something out as well.
And what I learned is anyone who hits a wall under any circumstances while in a web state becomes nullified.
Removed from the battle.
Which changes things slightly.
Similarly to on a rooftop, kicking someone off of it.
They're gone. They're
ends
dead.
That.
Yeah.
Hold on. Spider-Man Last Stand suit. Suit power. Spider-Man gets super pissed and enemies can't block or interrupt any of your attacks while this is active.
That's fucking great.
I get angry.
The heavies are like...
Heavies are scary.
It took me like a couple rounds to really learn that you're not supposed to time. You have to time them a little bit more precisely than the other enemies.
It took me about 3/4 of the game to stop getting hit by every single heavy punch.
But the heavies,
because you get hit by one, their follow ups are so fast, and you're not.
And they wind up, but their animation is misleading because it looks like that wind up is going to result in a full swing, but they kind of lunge forward and it takes an extra second on it. But in any case, the gadget setup. Was I'm like, okay, call in a spider buddy and then use 3 support spider drones.
Options.
And now you have 4 things just cleaning up the battlefield.
I should mention that the spider bro and the web blossom moves are the best moves.
They're
not even close. The third best one is probably the first one you get, which is the focus ability, where it just gives you free focus.
Yeah.
Well, there's one suit's power is just it quads your damage.
That's what I was about to bring up. Yeah. It's the red one with the big arms on it.
Yeah, I hate that suit.
It's very ugly.
It looks hideous.
It's very ugly, but I want that power up.
Quad damage is one punch kills.
Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. So all that to say that every style works.
Yep.
If you decide to fucking unlock Tony Hawk tricks and then super jump and then do a death from above, like that's a valid way to take out enemies too.
Did you unlock the challenges yet?
No, I'm really low on, or rather, I haven't seen challenge tokens. It just says right now, play through the mission, the main mission.
Okay, you'll get there. Yeah. Okay, so you're not farther than me.
In the story,
There's 4 types.
I want to say 4.
I've done 3 stealth sections.
Okay, so there's combat, there's stealth, there's
bombs.
Interception and bombs, and the what's it called? The camera one. You know the one where you follow the camera.
Yeah.
It's web swing through points, essentially. Those are outrageous. Oh, they are super tough.
I was really glad that fly through the rings was at least the only way they did that was fly through the smog and web through the smog, and it's kind of contextual in a way. Floating bullshit rings
There's
not
a checkpoint
great.
Where you're chasing a drone, and the drone will fly all over, and then when it reaches a certain point in its route, it'll drop a ring that you have to swing through.
Yeah.
And there is no solution to those other than learning the route perfectly.
That sucks.
Or else you'll never complete it fast enough.
Not to mention some of those chase missions. Like, there's a helicopter chase that's like... It's very clear during the chase missions, it's like, at the 30-second mark is when you can catch up to it. There is nothing you can do until that point in time.
It's the same thing for birds, where it's actually...
You're on top of the bird's ass.
Like, because as soon as I got there, I just happened to swing in that direction.
5 meters away from the bird.
I'm in the bird. It's like, nope. You gotta wait.
And that helicopter one was like, come the fuck on, guys. How is a helicopter cornering around buildings better than I am? You know, and also, why wouldn't you just fly above the city? Why would you stay low amongst the buildings?
You got to give Spidey a chance.
It's weighted. Yeah, I guess it's weighted down.
Spider-Man.
But boy, the little bit of that, I'm like, yeah, come on.
God, that scene is so much money.
Yeah, a lot of money in
a lot of money.
The fucking anytime you see let's destroy the overworld, you know, even partially, you're like, oh shit, okay. Fun to see the overworld change as the game goes on.
Yes, I didn't expect that.
Fun to see those things.
There's an old Spider-Man game where it does this, but in the worst, shittiest, dumbest, awfulest way ever. It's Web of Shadows, and New York is fine. And then maybe, I don't know, 3 hours into the game, it's like symbiotes have taken over the Earth.
Oh, God.
And now everything just bam is just destroyed, and there's no NPCs any longer.
Okay.
Everyone is symbiote.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It's so
bad. I mean, it's based on the runs, Planet of the Symbiotes, but.
I don't even know if it's based on. I think it might have even taken place beforehand. I don't know. But it's so poorly handled.
I was supposed to say, I think my only thing that I dislike about the game at all so far is, I don't know if you guys saw, but Tumelo retweeted a funny article a few days ago, which was, they made that video game again, but now Spider-Man's in it.
Specifically, it's a very Sony
why you gotta be
thing
so
now.
Because
Microsoft doesn't put out games, and Nintendo puts out Nintendo games, but it's like, that game is out, and it's Spider. That's very true.
The difference here is that it feels best to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, totally. If I could take any of those games and pick one, it would be, I want the Spider-Man version.
Flying doesn't feel as good as web-swinging.
Nope.
And that is a huge...
Because there's no...
Testament.
...problem with flying. There's no...
There's no challenge.
Skill.
You just fly.
Yeah.
There's no moments of boundless gravity that you get to fucking slow-mo. Taking photos as Spider-Man... While you use focus and slow down and get the perfect shot has never felt more like, oh yeah, this is how he does it.
Gliding
you know?
In the Arkham games feels better than flying because at least there's like a resistance there.
At least you're falling.
Yeah. Falling with style.
But sometimes when I'm just like, I don't want to swing right now. I just want to point to point and boost off of the points.
Yeah, because you can totally.
And you can do that as like,
until you get to Central Park, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, like if you want to be Ohio Spider-Man, you can do that. You can be the lamppost jumper, and the game lets you get around like that.
The fact that Central Park and Spider-Man is always so great because it's this giant fucking area in the middle of the map that's like a mobility death zone. That like I'll fucking swing around Central Park to not go through it.
I haven't like I have sometimes, but like oftentimes when there's like missions in Central Park, like that bird watching one, and I'm just like, oh, I can do it. It's
harder.
Yeah, it just every moment feels like that first reveal of like the big end of the fucking first Spider-Man movie. Right. Where he lands on the flag. Speaking of landing on the flag, I don't know if you landed on the flag, but have you noticed that if you land and just pose up on the flag, the fucking birds never go away? They're always doing circles around the flag because it's
so
like...
It's for photo
mode. So you can photo up. And the birds are like, all right, is he taking it? No, all right, curve back. And they just do circles so you get the perfect moment type of thing. It's funny.
This is a weird thing to say, but it's like... one tiny thing, I'm like, whatever. It's not really a negative, but it's like they went out of their way to be like, there's no Venom content. There's no Venom anything. Mm-hmm. That's not in this game. We're not doing that. And I'm like, okay, fine. I respect that.
That makes perfect
sense. Fuck you. because that means I'll never get the Agent Venom Flash Thompson secret agent costume, because they're not going to just throw a red Venom costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no black costumes.
No, I hear you.
And I'm like, I just want that so bad.
I mean, there are, but not
they're not symbiote-based.
Yeah.
There's no symbiote-based costume.
Yeah. Like, even if it was just a black and white cloth costume.
And you could understand the can of worms that comes alongside that.
Of course.
That's a whole game in itself.
There's such a massive, like, feeling around the symbiote, or lack thereof, in this game that it's like, boy, it'd be cool if they made another one of these. Like, Norman Osborn and Otto Octavius just walking around as Norman Osborn and Otto Octavius for the vast majority of the game, at least where I'm at. They haven't become anybody yet. Mm. It's like, I guess either later here or much later in 2.
And this Spider-Man has dealt with the symbiote before, because he has his little lines about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like
the lethal protector.
That's such a big thing.
I don't
know
if those were actual, like, in-game storylines or winks at the audience.
Little wink-winks.
Like,
I think they're both.
I mean, I think it's unclear if he had fought symbiotes. Like, he would have mentioned
straight out. So, if in one of those items you're pulling from the past, where he talks about, oh, this is my first whatever, he probably would have pulled out, like, a leather jacket and been like, oh, this is when I dressed like a douchebag when I had that symbiote on.
That black suit.
Yeah.
But, and he doesn't say that.
But anyway.
But finish the game. The game has, like, two setups for sequels where it's, like, one is on the villain side and one is on the hero side. Cool, and they're both fantastic.
Cool, cool.
Yay.
Yeah, man. If you haven't, I mean, like, I think fucking everybody's playing this, but if you haven't...
Yes, everyone is playing this.
If you haven't, like, the funnest thing about it, and, like, what you'll probably enjoy right away is, like, the fact that you beat two missions and then it just goes new suit available, just, like, free.
And every, you beat one more mission, new suit available.
Every half hour, you just get a new suit you can wear, and there's a giant character select screen, and it's fucking...
As somebody who's
it's great.
Into comics, that experience has been like, oh, what the... Why this suit? What?
Yeah.
What is that?
Enjoy it if you want it.
Did you get the weird flaming one?
No. The skull one?
Yeah.
I didn't get it, but it was the last suit that I got, like, the ability to unlock, and
a hilarious playthrough, play through the story and look at the cutscenes where he speaks in that suit.
Oh, what? He has a modulated voice?
I know. Like, just animation-wise.
Hey, I'm a skull monster. Hey.
It's so stupid.
I think Miles is all right so far. It's only been like really limited exposure.
I only have one problem with Miles and his storyline. The first part of his storyline is
insane.
It's aggressively foreshadowed to an absurd degree.
Yeah, there's that, but
You're going to the thing.
Yeah.
You're like, boy, I wonder what's going
to
happen.
No, but you know how, like, your regular person that becomes a hero has to have the bravery that shows that they're willing to throw themselves into danger.
Gotta fight that sludge monster, even though I got no powers.
Yeah, fucking macadamia.
Yeah.
The level of, like, Miles, what are you doing?
He should have died in that scene.
Beyond insane.
He should have died,
right?
For sure.
There's a couple of moments of, like, this family is so wholesome and pure that they're throwing themselves into danger.
Yeah, it's not like he's a hothead that would do that.
This family is so wholesome and pure that they're throwing themselves into danger, which is established, and then they go beyond the point that makes any sense to do anymore, and they're still like, no, I'm doing it, though.
I think it's because his dad hammers home that lesson. What was it? It's like, you can, like... All you need to be a hero is not be a coward.
I guess.
Like,
but
I think
there's a difference between cowardice and running into gunfire.
Gunfire. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's just what they were going for. Is all. I'm not saying it makes sense.
Like, yeah,
that scene is wild.
Like, it's just there's a difference between those two things. You know, like, sometimes you can help, other times you cannot, and in times when you cannot, but you decide you're still going to try. It feels a bit like you're kind of just running to your death. You know, I can't parse that. It's not an intelligent decision
also
anymore.
A slight negative. This won't mean anything to Wooly, but it would to Pat. It's like,
hear it.
Towards the end, like, you know, the Scarecrow moment of the Arkham games?
Sure do.
Spider-Man says, I want to have 6 or 7 of those. And
really?
I'm like, that's a lot of them.
Scarecrows work because they were really far apart.
Yeah.
Like, really far apart. They were like 4 or 5 hours apart.
I'm saying 7's way too many. I want to say there's 4.
But in what span are we talking?
3 hours.
That's too much?
They're cool.
Sure.
They're totally cool.
But that makes you ready for the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Game's rad.
Game's super rad.
Game's very rad.
It's very good.
And like all of like and like North American numbers are not in. It's like apparently like you know,
it's demolishing God of War.
It's in the UK. I think someone said it's like it sold more in its first week than God of War did in its first month in the UK.
There was that article.
Also
Spider-Man.
Did you see that? Fucking...
The world is obsessed with Spider-Man.
But the last couple of games did not sell well.
No, but it is the character that. Is like bootlegging on all those weird ElsaGate videos.
Did you see
for a reason
that I think it was Forbes or Wall Street Journal or something put out some fucking online article that was like Spider-Man for the PlayStation proves that the right IP can still motivate sales. And it's like it's Spider-Man.
That's always the right IP.
It's the IP.
That's insane.
There is no. I cannot think of a single property ever that would be more likely to sell a product than Spider-Man.
We know how much people that don't speak English love Spider-Man.
Yeah,
that doesn't apply to a lot of other characters.
I apparently did really well in Japan too.
There you go. Spider-Man invented Kamen Rider and Sentai
directly.
directly. He couldn't be more worldwide.
But it is true that yes, this game has been released, and this time Spider-Man is
that's
the character.
Like, it's the simplest formula in the world. Studio with a good name plus Spider-Man equals a shitzillion dollars.
I enjoy doing Marvel versus Capcom Spider-Man moves a lot. I really try to recreate
straight
those.
Straight up have them.
A whole bunch. Giant
they
web swing.
Spider standing.
It's
web
really clear.
The spider swing.
Spider sting, spider swing.
It's really clear that they
no maximum spider
web
though.
Ball. Oh, you can almost do
you
it,
You can
though.
Almost do it, but it's not
with
a
with the point launch
move.
And the wall jumps, you can almost do it.
Fair enough.
Boy, EA has fucking wasted that Star Wars license, haven't they?
Man.
Yeah.
I remember there were talks about Disney maybe taking it away from them because like they've wasted it.
Battlefront was the franchise that like got people in though, right? Like that was the best like
Super Star Wars
feeling one
and Jedi Outcast and you're mistaking that good feeling for Battlefront because it died. Like
the Battlefront like 1 and 2 with the original ones when they came out were like back to back big successes and
because it was the game that brought all the different
like
Star Wars games together,
Duty
right? It was the game that just lets you pilot anything and control anything.
But also,
whereas in other before that you had to play like X-Wing game or
the
you know,
resurgence of
Koth
the
game.
Of the popular Star Wars game is the one that you played was KOTOR.
Right.
Was the one that was like fucking Star Wars
That's
games.
True too.
Yeah.
That's true too.
Yeah.
And just
like for me, it was Rogue Leader,
and then and Force Unleashed came out.
Yeah, I'd say more importantly, the paranoia of making a studio build something around a movie coming out. You should relax that. You should let them take their time and do something that.
What are the two examples?
Well, they canceled all those.
Spider-Man and Batman were not even no movies.
No,
explicitly
like
anti-movies.
Let like them a year before
yeah,
this.
Just
even.
Let the game build its own strengths.
Well, you're
you
completely
know?
Right, and that's what Star Wars 13:13 was going to be, and then they killed that because Amy Hennig doesn't know how to write a single player storyline that people would buy. Apparently, that's sarcasm. If anyone didn't catch that.
Well, as you mentioned KOTOR, it just makes me think of the fact that it's like, yeah, look at all these games that are not tie-ins that had time to become their own developed worlds and these familiar things we love. And
KOTOR came out alongside the fucking prequel trilogy, and it was like a replacement for Star Wars feelings.
I forgot about that.
It came out alongside trash movies that disappointed everyone and succeeded in spite of it.
Yeah, so you gotta let it go. Anyway, yeah, man.
Spider-Man's really good.
Spider-Talk. I finished Disenchanted. It was funny. It was worth watching. I'm going to check out season 2.
Cool.
Still no belly laughs, but definitely a
but
solid...
But the storyline actually took a hold where I'm like, wow, this is actually a bit more interesting.
Kept me going to the point where I'm like, I'm invested. I'm going to watch this. Disenchanted is... It's funny enough. But no, that's not true. I feel like there were. But you see, here's the problem.
Excuse me, just a second.
I did have one or two really big laughs, but I can't remember what they were.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Me too. I think,
you know, it kind of has that problem.
There was one that killed me. And it's like
it was something somewhere, you know. But
I would say in episode 6 or 7.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing exactly, right? Like, it's still fun enough to watch, and it even has its action moments, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, fight scenes, if you
and
would.
It's not even strictly season 2. It'll be part 2, which is a weird distinction,
I guess.
Certain Netflix shows do this call it now. Parts. They don't even call them seasons now. Yeah. But then they have shows where they're called seasons, so mm-hmm. I don't know how they're separating it.
What'd you do, man?
Played a bunch of Spider-Man and beat it, mm-hmm. but we kind of went over that. But I did... with a heavy heart, see The Predator.
Turns out not a whole lot of people were in the mood to go see The Predator.
No, almost the exact same amount that went to go see Predators years ago. They almost made the exact same amount of money in terms of box office stuff. But I saw it. I'm going to have a full on, maybe almost 2 hour plus video mumbling with Matt where I do a retrospective of the entire Predator franchise with the guys from OSW Reviews. So look forward to that. But we're going to, you know, record our reactions to the Predator there. But I'll give a basic thing is that, like, there's a good movie here. But this is the biggest example since Suicide Squad of, man, they fucked up this movie in post with really poor editing. A lot of scenes chopped out, a better ending that was probably in there originally or even confirmed wise. But there's still fun to be had. There's still some fun characters. This is probably the best cast of any Predator movie since the first one. Like, I enjoyed the characters and some of the dialogue. Do I enjoy autism being presented as a superpower?
Worth of interstellar travel.
What is everyone talking about?
Oh, okay.
So in the trailers, they show a child.
I have no idea what anyone's talking about.
They show a child briefly in the trailers. And then, like, they basically go, he has autism. I'm like, okay. And then apparently he has the world's craziest, most special autism that Predators want to know about.
He's Super Rain Man and the Predators want it.
That sounds dumb.
It's sure dumb.
So I didn't see it and heard that and was like, that sounds dumb, and laughed and laughed and laughed. And then I asked Matt, haha, is that true? And he was like, eh.
That being said, there's still, like, you know, sequences. I'm like, that's really cool. I like that weapon, whatever. But it really follows this cast of, like, kooky guys have been disavowed by the U.S. government. They're all military dudes. The main guy, who is, do you remember the bad guy in Logan, the one with blonde hair and the glasses?
Yeah,
always chasing
with the robot arm.
Yeah.
I like
he's
that
a cool guy.
Guy,
and he plays the main hero, a sniper, and he runs afoul of a Predator at the very start. The first, like, half hour of this is, like, really good. Actually, I was enjoying it a lot, and then midway through, and then the third act especially, we were talking about a bit before, characters just show up out of nowhere when you thought they were over there, because they're just, I don't know, they either didn't film it or just the editing was so hack slash that I was just confused about, not confused about what was going on, but, like, just, it just felt so disjointed. It's rated R. It leans into that really well, because that's usually what you do when you want to make up for a lack of a consistent story. The main thing I kind of really did enjoy is that, like, predators are in the movie quite a bit, but they don't actually do anything other than attack. So unlike the first three, even Predators, there's not a scene of a predator doing something that's, like, more than fighting. Like, he's not, like, going through his weapons, repairing himself, doing something. They're always either running or shooting or attacking. And I'm like, that's cool for, like, action fans. Like, and then I was thinking, maybe is this trying to be the aliens of Predator?
Or they're just, like, the army?
But it's like, don't do that, because you'll never be as good as aliens. So right. It kind of doesn't work that way either.
Who directed it?
Shane Black, who played Hawkins in the original Predator and directed Iron Man 3 and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and all these pretty good movies and stuff. And, like, I won't go into it, but they have an ending stinger that is the most laughable. Like, this is ridiculous, and I do not like this right now. And they had to rewrite it because originally it was supposed to involve Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they sent the script to him. This is like in an interview, and Schwarzenegger was like, I didn't want him to do it. Like, I don't want to be
in the movie. I don't blame him.
I don't want to be in the movie for, like, 8 seconds.
Mm.
And I think if you want me to be in the movie, I should be not the main star, because I'm not, but I should be in it a bit more. And they're like, well, we're not going to do that. He's like, well, I'm not going to be into it. So they had to come up with plan B. And plan B, no, they didn't come up with plan B. They came up with, like, a plan F.
It does. It feels like a plan F.
Yeah.
When I saw it, because I knew I wasn't going to go see this, like, I laughed out loud.
Like, you saw a clip or you just read about it?
If you fucking say Jesse the Body Ventura. Yeah,
I wish. Really,
that would have been great. No, it's a completely different thing.
It's a completely different thing, but it still serves the purposes of a stinger. Like, oh, shit. But no one in the crowd said, oh, shit. I didn't go. I said an actual, oh, shit. Like, oh, like, shit, really?
Flat out ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But, I mean, it's still probably, like, if it comes out on Netflix, like, it's definitely still worth a watch.
Fighter.
It wasn't boring.
A governator.
It wasn't boring.
The harp system. That's why I'm going.
No,
off
the stinger is a bunch of chemtrails just leaking to the predator mask.
Jesse's so crazy.
He's very crazy. But I saw that. I played a little bit of Senran Kagura Reflections.
Yeah, you did.
Which is probably the stupidest entry in the Senran Kagura series. Because
wow,
is Daidoji in it?
No,
damn it.
Because at the end of the day, the mainline Senran Kagura games are enjoyable, fluffy beat 'em ups with sexy anime ladies, and even beachy peachy splashy washy is the is the Splatoon game, where you're just watering each girl with, like, super soakers. That's a game.
Watering them.
And Reflections is barely a game. It's rubbing down girls with your Joy-Cons.
Uh-huh.
And the HD rumble is put to creepy effect.
Yeah.
And that's the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this should be the mini game in between stages of the actual
game. No, but then they won't be able to sell it twice.
And it's just, there's not much there. Of course, I recorded a video on it.
Time was spent. Yeah, I was going to say.
Of course.
But
I didn't enjoy it.
Like,
I didn't even get the girls I even like in Senran Kagura, and I don't even think they're in it. So fuck me, I guess.
But it's just like, you bring that to the table, it's because there's a fucking Elgato in the background recording what's happening here, right? Right? Yes. Okay. All right.
But yeah, I guess that's...
Matt, what are you doing? I'm recording.
I think I even have a line where I'm like, I gotta finish this quickly before someone opens a door.
Yeah.
And
it's the police.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that's not even... it's not even that risque.
I retweeted this tweet. Someone put of like, they're loading up DMC3.
Oh!
They're just like, wait... How old is Lady in DMC 3?
17 or 16 years old.
And then the FBI just spawns in his house and he's just running from the FBI.
That's just great.
Yeah.
But aside from Spider-Man, that's me.
I don't really have much new this week. Aside from Spider-Man, I've been plunking away in the old favorites, 14 in Warframe and Monster Hunter. Nothing to say on that other than Monster Hunter modding is coming a long way. Like, a long way. They're cracking that shit open. And, like, a bunch of my friends got into it.
Are they just putting old armor back in?
No, they're actually doing a lot of zany shit. They're figuring out how to add new quests to the game, rejigger some monsters. They're ripping all the music out of the game so that you can change... like, the generic battle theme that when you fight a Rathalos to, like, lock and load. There are some legitimately fantastic mods that have already come out. There is somehow a transmog mod that lets you change your appearance to whatever you want, and other players can see it. So that's just solved.
That's good.
There's a mod that makes all the droppables for, you know, when you hit a monster, the little tiny white speck.
Mm-hmm.
Now they now shoot up beams of light so that you can actually fucking find them.
Okay.
Stuff like that. There's also people just modding the game into absolute nonsense, like the fucking heavy wyvern fire has now been replaced by missiles and just shit dies in 1 second. So it's kind of the Wild West over there on Monster Hunter. It's awesome.
Hmm. Are people doing mod characters or mod armor?
Not really. The
like,
main
like
thing
modding that, Ryu into Ken. Or...
No, right now the number one thing is they're retexturing existing monsters. So the very first one that's probably going to come out is they're going to retexture Devil Joe into Savage Devil Joe and change his stats.
Okay.
So that he is that different one to just add subspecies into the game. But the game is weird, and it was never meant to be modded, so it's one of those. But there's so many people that care about doing it mm-hmm. that progress is happening regardless.
If someone turns Kirin into Rapidash, let me know.
That's a palette swap. Even that's just turn it from.
I want to see it.
Although Kirin has weird feet, I don't know if you've ever seen, but Kirin does not have hooves.
Right, they're just spikes, right?
I don't know. It's weird. I don't like them. They're not hooves. Nothing new in Warframe other than Chroma Prime, but who here gives a shit about that? Does anyone even know what I'm saying if I say Chroma Prime? No?
I mean, it's the Prime version?
Yeah, of Chroma. He's cool.
Chroma.
He's like a dragon. That's it. And 14's dragging me back in because there's a new patch, and that's it. They're adding alarms, which has me excited. And it's one of the... Well, you follow fighting games a good deal. Matt, you don't play any long-term games as a service type games ever, do you?
All I did was I played Friday the 13th and Overwatch.
Okay. Because there's this weird thing that happens when you follow a game real, real, real close, and they announce a feature change. And to the average person, you look like a psychopath for getting excited about it. Because it's like...
A quality of life
thing. It's a small quality of life change that means nothing. But then you go, oh, yeah. So they're adding alarms to the game. And that's the most exciting thing in the new patch.
In Dragon Ball FighterZ, they made this character select screen cursor move faster.
Oh, man.
And
that is actually fantastic.
Huge. It's so insignificant. Yeah, that's simultaneously huge.
That's the perfect example. Because, yeah, you look crazy, but I totally...
Oh, but it makes a big difference.
I totally understand.
Like, the reason why the alarms matters is because in-game, there are materials that only spawn at certain in-game times. Mm-hmm. So you would need an extra tab open to have the fucking little alarm go mm-hmm, off for you. Mm-hmm, and now you can just set those yourself. Wow! Wow! But when you try and tell people about that, they go...
Yeah, my face.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't World of Warcraft just kind of like thrive on taking modded UI stuff and making it official?
Yeah.
Right.
And then it also thrived on not integrating core features for like a decade because, well, there's a mod for it. So why waste development time on it?
Oh, no, you got to make it official.
No.
You got to put it in there.
Well, 14 by comparison has no modding support of any kind. So, anything that you want in that game, they're like, okay, I guess we got to put it in then. But that's it for me. Nothing big outside of the usuals in Spider-Man.
Like life-changing quality of life should not be understated, should not be sandbagged.
It's much, much bigger deal than... Like, the biggest thing that got me back into playing 14 was that they changed how the system works to change your look. Where they made it so that instead of... changing every single piece of gear on your body with a one-time use consumable item, which took forever. And you had to have the original look item. Like, if you wanted to change to the sword, you always had to keep that sword. They made it so that you can just set up plates that you just switch to. I want to be a cowboy. I want to be a ninja. I want to be a cowboy. Different cowboy.
So I'm trying to think
all
of...
I'm
thinking of these examples, and... The fact that Persona 4 Arena had no rematch button
was outrageous.
It was, over time, a bigger problem.
It's the worst part of the entire game.
As you start it, you're like, that's annoying, but okay. And then months in, you're just fucking mashing that button.
Did they add it in Ultimate?
Yes.
They sure did. Like
okay.
But they never patched it in Arena.
But we can know. They didn't. So you go back every time. You have to fucking hit that select screen every time. But we can go further with this. Because some, because adding the rematch button, we can do more. Akatsuki Blitzkampf has the single best version of this ever. The moment the frame that is about to say KO flashes, hit that start button, you're done.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We're back in. We're going. You can salty mash the start button on the moment the round ends.
So when you're dying from a combo that you know is going to kill you,
you just mash the start button.
Start.
And then at a certain point, it'll look like you hit the reset button, and then you'll be on the select screen going back into another fight.
That's great.
Like, holy fuck, they let you aggressively salty run it back in seconds. And that's the only game I know that does it that
so,
hard.
So, yeah, the situation for you is the upcoming patch notes in Akatsuki Blitzkampf. Faster restart on rematch option. And Wooly's over there going, yay! And then people who don't play that are going, well, it's not even a new character or a new move. Or it's
quality
it's
of
just,
life,
it's
man.
Just, yeah, it's...
quality of life.
If you're going to play a game for a long time, these kinds of changes are actually the lifeblood of what, like, make you happy. Because those little resentments just build up and build up.
So there's things where... I don't know if an RPG's ever done this, but I've always thought about, like, if I want to one-hand play an RPG, right? If I'm really fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about, like... Mm. What if and you just what if you had a instead of like selecting your attack item run magic whatever you know like you held like right trigger and then just weapon wheeled your options to get to what you wanted
to
do.
It'd have to be a pretty basic RPG.
It'd have to be very basic. But I kind of thought about like the ability to do that or be an option like an accessibility option would be really.
Why would you move?
You just fucking rap, 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 option. Because, like, sometimes I'm in that one-armed switch mode, you know? Sometimes I'm in that one-armed Wiimote mode where you're just, like, lying in a weird... Like, I blame the Wii because that brought in, like, the I'm lying on my couch. I really don't want to...
It's the ultimate.
...do this kind of situation. And I feel like that would be a nice way to go through selecting
the
menus as my video game.
The only game I can think of in which you can do that as an RPG is Final Fantasy XII. Because you can completely automate
your the process. Okay.
And then you just need to be able to move and hit the turbo.
With the gambits.
Yeah.
Cool.
I hated gambits when it came out back in the day. Like way back in the day. And then when I replayed it on the PS4, I gotta go back to that. But
the international
you can actually just automate the entire game.
Yeah,
and the game becomes not about like how to beat certain bosses with like turn by turn. It becomes how to build your party to be able to.
Okay, is that still fun?
Absolutely,
cool.
But it's only fun, and this is important, in the re-releases that have the international version.
Yeah,
because that's the one that has the hold L1 to fast forward.
Okay.
That's when it becomes fun.
Yeah, those re-releases are fun, especially those ones of Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, yeah, man, I can't wait for the re-release of Final Fantasy VIII. On the Nintendo anything.
The fact that there's a gif of Squall turning in his bed and then just slowly going fetal is hilarious.
My favorite is him and I think it's Renoa and they're just both saying whatever.
My favorite is that that Brady Bunch grid that has all the Final Fantasy characters. Like, your favorite Final Fantasy, not you. It's got, and it's got Squall in the middle.
Hold that thought. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Let's do that.
This week, the podcast is sponsored by DC Universe.
Oh.
Do you like DC? Love DC? Or are you what some people might call obsessed with DC?
You could say that.
Well,
no.
I mean, there's all kinds. There's lots out there. Then you what
there
you
is.
What you need is the DC Universe. You need to get DC Universe. It's the only place you can watch the all new live action Titans, which premieres this fall.
I really am looking forward to watching that.
Not to mention Young Justice, Outsiders, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, Stargirl, and Harley Quinn, which will be coming your way in 2019.
That Swamp Thing thing I really want to see because it's supposed to be rated R, and the guy that played Jason Voorhees is supposed to
really?
Be playing Swamp Thing. So I'm
that sounds wild.
That, yeah.
Swamp Thing has had some amazing stories over the years.
Something so weird. I love Swamp Thing.
New episodes will come out every week, which means you'll have... which means you always have something to look forward to. DC Universe has features you just have to see for yourself, like a world-class comic reader that even works on your big-screen TV.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Thoughtfully curated, regularly refreshed library of 2,500 modern and classic titles. A members-only store full of exclusive merchandise and discussion forums filled with fans and talent discussing all things DC. This isn't another streaming service because nobody needs that. This is what you might call the ultimate DC membership, and it works on your favorite iOS and Android devices, as well as Roku, Apple TV, and Google Chromecast. Join for just $7.99 a month, or better yet, grab a $74.99 annual membership and save 20%. Join today at DCUniverse.com. Thanks, DC.
Thanks, DC.
Thank you.
Might be able to use that to catch up on all my favorite Superman comics.
There you go. Check in. Podcast is also sponsored by Acer.
Acer.
Hey, Acer, what up?
I was about to say Cat, and I turned it into Acer.
Because
I thought it might have been Casper, but that's fine.
No. To be the best, you need the best, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
Level up on the go with the hardware that's as versatile as it is strong. The Predator Triton 700, the Predator that we should be talking about this week.
The one that will not disappoint.
No, the not... You see, there are different types of predators out there. Sometimes, you know, it's not the greatest, but this is the greatest. This is the Predator Triton 700 with a CPU that packs a punch in the 7th gen Intel Core i7 processor. You can fully immerse yourself in the game with a design so sleek, you what? Forget it's even there.
What am I using? Am I using Air? Oh, no, it's a laptop.
Tear-free gaming, pure FPS, courtesy of NVIDIA GeForce Tech. Focus on just becoming the best. You don't want to think about problems. You don't want to think about your graphics card acting up.
Problems.
I'm not a big fan.
It's thinner, it's faster, it's quieter. Say hello to the Predator Triton
700. It's so thin due to that 18.9 millimeter chassis.
There you go. That's a pretty thin number. Yeah. Quieter, too. You should go down to Acer.com, click on Store, and enter coupon code FRIENDCAST to checkout to receive 10% off. That's Acer.com, and enter code FRIENDCAST to receive 10% off.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I cannot use that.
Stop.
Okay.
That's not for you.
All the lucky folks listening can.
Yeah.
Go catch your Predator Triton 700 gaming laptop today.
Thank you, Acer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Seven, nine, ten.
So no. We got to be clear. Seven, nine, ten,
and ten, two.
And CC, and World of Final Fantasy.
And 12. It's so embarrassing.
What happened?
Every non-MMO Final Fantasy game released from 1997 to, I want to say, 2006, including World of Final Fantasy, which is brand new, will be released for the Switch at some point in the
and
next year.
And then 15 Pocket Edition, too.
Oh, I fucking forgot. 15 Pocket.
You know...
It's never been...
And Chocobo Mysterious Dungeon, too!
Yeah, well, I mean, those are really fringe,
sure.
But... I'm going to say that during that Nintendo Direct, right, you guys are more of the Final Fantasy VII fans. Like, I played it at a friend's house a bunch, but it was not my game. I played, like, eight. Not eight, of course not. I played nine. I played nine way more than I ever played seven, and obviously played 10 more. But when you see Aerith's face show up in a trailer, like, I get excited still. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And I like the last thing, like, the, you know, this is a random Nintendo Direct, and it's like, oh, all Final Fantasy is coming. Now Cloud being in fucking Smash is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, you have to remember every 10 years you need to give the kids an opportunity to play these old games that people keep talking about.
Magic.
And now that the Switch is fucking gangbusters and porting to it is the hot shit. It's the time. It's like, so, why wouldn't they?
I have a piece of context for this.
The question is, which version of 7?
Probably the PC version. Because I seriously doubt you'll be seeing the PlayStation versions being used.
Yeah. Here.
They'll be the So I have two pieces of context for this that make it make a little more sense as to why now and why all of these, right? Why now is because back when Square Pictures fucking went the fuck under, we all remember that back in...
Square could have actually gone out of business due to that being such a debacle. Yeah.
So that eventually led to the merger...
Blame Aki.
With, that eventually led to the merger with Enix.
But blame Sakaguchi.
But before it did that, it led to Sony... Sony buying, I think, I want to say like 14% share, maybe 18% in Square, which is kind of why you saw them have a lot of Sony games, especially the games in that era, right?
Yeah.
Back in 2014, they sold that share off so that there was no longer any part of Sony involved. Now, that meant these could have come to the Wii U, I guess.
But that's stupid.
But that would be stupid. Right, so everything's free and clear, and now we can just shoot everything everywhere. As for 8, I have been seeing a lot of people talk about the reasons why 8 has not been re-released on almost anything.
The chief reason among them is because it doesn't have an existing port.
It does have an existing port on the PC,
like an old
way
one, or a new
back,
one?
Way back.
What I mean, because
it has a bad port.
It has a bad port from like 1999.
Yeah, okay. Because I was around for the new 7 ports that were being done.
Yeah.
And
so they
changed a lot. They fixed a lot.
The general conspiracy theory consensus on what the deal with 8 is that 8 used a shit ton of FMV backdrops.
Yeah.
And it's quite possible that Square might have lost them, which means they don't have the original files. Because the FF7 Recreation 9, they use higher res versions of those backdrops.
I mean, is it really an SNK situation?
Well, here's the thing. They can't take it from the PS1 version to put on other platforms, can they? So if they lost, like, you know, remember all those? Well, did you guys even play it? But there's a lot of battle scenes that have FMV backdrops. If those are gone, you can't, like, those would look like fucking trash on today's stuff,
and then there's no
with
way
super
they
super low
would,
res. They're like three,
and there'd be no way they'd put the work in to try to like
recreate
it. And then the other thing I heard is because the game has so many like notable musical tracks that they might have lost the licenses to put out again,
such as Eyes on Me.
Well, if you were looking forward to junctioning on your Switch on the go, I guess you're not going to be allowed to do that. So sorry, fans of junctioning.
How appropriate.
Whatever.
It is so fitting that the game that this happens to is the one that has a purpose-made like dismissal of its own problems.
Hey, man. Triple Triad.
Triple Triad lives on in other forms. There are both homebrew and official Triple Triad solutions for you.
They should have announced Triple Triad is getting ported.
Oh, man.
Just to really hammer that home. Just to really get it to the core, you know? Because, who's got time? Who's got time for the filler, you know?
Whatever.
Yeah, so that's the story here, by the way, being that Final Fantasy 7, 9, 10, 10, 2, and 11, or 12, rather, are coming to the Switch in 2019.
Yeah, Square's going big on the back catalog on the Switch, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, okay.
A bunch of those games are really fantastic.
Really want the Octopath team to, like, remake 6.
I see a lot of people saying that. And one of
in
those
that
people,
style?
Yeah.
One of those people is me.
So the HD remake that's not a remake? The HD remake that's still sprite-based, I should
HD,
say.
At the same time, I would much actually rather see them do something new. But to solve that, one of the problem with that is that there currently is no... I talked about this before. There's no good version of 6.
Yeah.
There needs to be a good version of 6. That game's an absolute classic.
Weird that... I mean, over the years, these things just kind of end up in these... like places where you're like, oh fuck, what are we gonna port forward? When was the last port of this? Yeah. How bad was it? Or was it okay?
Yeah.
Are we going to just go back and do it from scratch? And if so, do we still have the ability to do that?
I still remember when Final Fantasy V and VI came out on the PlayStation, and there were a bunch of people that didn't own Super Nintendo. I was like, yeah. I'm like, don't play that fucking version. Mm. That version's so bad.
It sucks that that's not obvious, you know, in the sense that, like, you have to know when these things happen. Because now when you say FF7 for the PC, it's like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I remember when there was a battle before that, but if you weren't around to catch
that.
If you want to
go hard on it, you can do the model swap mod. And that game looks really wild the model swap mod.
It's like, oh, shit, Chrono Trigger came out on Steam today? You know?
It's bad.
That kind of problem.
Now it's fixed. But is it better than the DS version? I don't know.
So that's happening. Also, fucking dope. I hope you guys got a chance to check out the trailer for Lethal League Blaze.
I did.
Yeah, I did.
Woo!
I remember seeing people post screenshots
of it. Game is
going,
fire.
This is not Jet Set Radio.
This game is fucking fire. Because, yeah, no, not just anyone, by the way. Hideki Naganuma, the Jet Set Radio composer, tweeted that out because he's also doing tracks for Lethal League.
Wow.
And the music is fucking incredible because, yeah, it fits into that aesthetic. And Lethal League Blaze looks like they basically took, like, frame-by-frame gameplay from Lethal League and translated it perfectly into 3D.
Yeah, it looks way better.
Like, it really has nothing lost in the translation to 3D.
Yeah.
And I'm really impressed by that more than anything else. Like, the animation, like, by being 3D, could afford to be... Like, they could have made it smoother, but they chose not to.
They made it chunkier spots.
Yep, it's still keyframing. It's still doing all the things that, you know, in the same way that Guilty Gear Xrd decided to keep it on the important keyframes. It's emulating traditional animation. Lethal League Blaze is absolutely doing that and rotating the camera a little bit just to remind you sometimes, and it looks fucking great.
And it's Spring coming 2019. Out on everything.
Yeah. And it's coming out on everything in 1 month.
No, it's October 24th for Steam and then spring next year for the consoles.
Oh, okay. Well, it's coming out on Steam in 1 month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we said this before when it was announced. Yeah, exactly. Like the name Lethal League Blaze is money.
Yeah.
That's fucking cash right there, man. Absolutely. Yo. I don't mind Blaze getting introduced into the lexicon of, Titan.
It's nice that they're paying Souls. Homage to the character from Mortal Kombat.
Like, just add that word to the list on both columns on the X and the Y axis, so we can now start getting like Soul Blaze and Blaze Titans and Blaze Blaze.
God damn it!
Yeah. Fuck yeah, Lethal League. Right on.
Lethal League.
We also got a bunch of announcements. So yeah, basically there was a Nintendo Direct, and that's where a lot of this is coming from.
Which is a neat Direct because it didn't have any absolute like, oh, I didn't see this coming type things. I mean, it did, but they're always like, it was just a nice Direct sparkled with like, that's really cool, that's really cool, that's really cool.
You're going to look me in the eye and tell me that you saw Animal Crossing coming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah? Okay. Fair enough.
Most people do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just, when are they going to announce a new Animal Crossing?
After so much silence, I was like,
Animal Crossing is like one of Nintendo's biggest moneymakers.
Yeah. So
it's wild.
They've announced a new mainline entry coming to Switch in 2019.
Get fucking in.
Yeah.
I'll play that on my Switch.
Yeah, you will.
Because I won't have to like duck out of exams.
And waste time on school
on
for
stupid
it.
School.
Yeah.
So, and of course, this is the 1-2 punch where it's like, yay, Isabelle's going to be in Smash. That's cool. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. That's a separate story. But
yeah. No,
yes.
I know. But yeah. They're hand in hand. And then it's like, yeah, man, really could use a new Animal Crossing. And then they're like, here's a new Animal Crossing. Oh, okay. So at least for now, Animal Crossing fans can stop ruining every Direct. But who's next in the lineup?
Of ruining. Metroid fans.
No.
No?
Because we still have a Metroid coming.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you mean. Okay.
So it's F-Zero fans.
F-Zero fans.
Well,
you have slotted back in.
Waluigi fans are still
Waluigi,
on the board.
But it's also, yeah, what franchise doesn't have at least two representatives? Captain Falcon is alone.
True,
Captain Falcon is alone.
F-Zero fans.
But do you go? Do you go Black Bull? Do you go Samurai Goro? Do you go
Samurai Goro's cool, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, there's choices there. There's a whole cast.
How's a stupid blonde kid from the anime?
Human McLeod.
Yeah.
James McLeod.
God, what's his? Yeah, his name is James McLeod, and then he changed his name somewhere along the lines to, I forget where though. But
Blood Falcon.
Yeah, Blood Falcon's cool.
Where do you go with it?
Like, if they just ported the F-Zero GX, like that everyone, some people would probably prefer that over a new game. Honestly, they're like Smash. Like,
I think everyone would prefer a new F-Zero.
I don't know. It's like Smash fans just re-release Melee.
Take all these characters out.
I think, I can't think of a single person who would be like, nah, don't give me a new F-Zero.
Well, to be fair, I don't know a single person who cares about F-Zero.
Because a new F-Zero could just be...
I don't know anyone that cares about Jet Moto, so...
But a new F-Zero could just be all the things they loved about the old F-Zero, but now better. Even Melee fans admit that, what if we got Melee 2?
I have just seen online, like, just port F-Zero GX. That's all I want.
It would be a good opportunity to bring attention to the franchise. I'll say that much. But
that's who's
Isabelle was an unexpected.
That's who's coming up in the ruining directs.
The instant Isabelle showed up on the screen, I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna. Ah, there she is.
I fucking love the picture of she's like turns over a new leaf, and then there's the bottom.
Little Mac
is Little Mac punching her in the gut as hard as
there's.
Her whole body covers his fist.
There's fucking like Captain Falcon in front of her going, Falcon! And then she's like, and then like, I think Ike comes up behind her or whatever and goes, hey, what's going on? And then he just turns around and like, punch!
For those of you that are unaware, Isabelle is a Shih Tzu.
And her head is shaped like a bell.
Oh, you're not?
I thought she was a bag of gold because there's that one thing of someone pulling the ribbon and her head just opens up like a burlap sack and it's fucking weird.
No, but what I mean is that if you want to fully imagine your dumb Smash image, just imagine Captain Falcon and like a 10-pound Shih Tzu going bark, 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 bark.
Shit, I lost the announcement of her being in Smash, but yes, she is in Smash as well.
Yeah, no.
She looks like she has...
She is not the villager, she is her own character.
Yeah, not an Echo Fighter at all.
Okay. Do you think there's going to be more characters?
Yes. I cannot imagine
one more.
I cannot imagine that Isabelle would be the last one to be.
You think we're going to be getting announcements up until the release date?
No, maybe
not up until, but I'd say there's at least one more character.
I would say I agree with Matt because Isabelle is like, yes, that is a pick that makes perfect sense, right? Isabelle is not a bomb to drop, and I feel like no matter who they had for the roster, like how do I put this? If there wasn't one more character, Simon would have been the last one we would see.
They don't have to, but just appropriate-wise, hype-wise, go out on another guest. Because as cool as Simon is, it's not the blockbuster.
But like, what I was going to say, what blockbusters are left?
We said this last time, but fuck, we had
It'd have to be complete left field, right?
Yeah, we actually thought of one or two last time.
All right, Marvin. Jesus Christ. It would really have to just be like unprecedented and like
Waluigi.
Coming from the realm like Goku, I still am just like,
could you imagine if the last character was actually Waluigi? Could you fucking like
memes? Not memes, they're not gonna go for memes.
Are you serious?
What if he was always planned and then they saw the memes and then they're like, oh shit.
Gino's a big one there too, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But it would have to be like the only way to create a blockbuster, like you said, like that effect would have to be from something that breaks the rules.
Banjo. We talked about Microsoft actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? I don't know if you guys saw it.
Something that breaks the rules.
But I know one that just barely breaks the rules and technically counts. Where Bethesda put out a fucking statement that says, "Yeah, we're talking to Nintendo about Smash. We totally want some of our characters in Smash." And that opens up fucking Doom Guy to be in Smash. And also, or BJ.
And also Blizzard was like, yeah, throw Diablo in there.
I mean, I can see Nintendo being like, here's Doom Guy. He's not doing anything like signature.
Rip and tear.
He's just going to be shooting you and you're going to just kind of get hit from the bullets and that'll be
like,
it.
Like, I would love that. And he's had enough, like, there's been enough Doom.
There's a legacy Nintendo of games consoles. There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, he can't do anything.
I want his final smash to have the comic panel of you have huge guts show up on the screen and it just zooms in and turns red.
You know what I'd say?
It would just say Doom Slayer rips and tears into Smash.
Yeah, Nintendo might. I could see them being willing to like be like he grabs you and then it's like censored out somehow. Like it's like a blur.
He's just Snake at the end of the day. Anything Snake can do, he can do.
Yeah, he's got a point. There doesn't need to be blood. He can just hit you really hard.
Yeah. He's just a gunman.
Or shoot you with a big gun.
Big old gun.
Oh, man. No, you know what it'd be? His final smash? It wouldn't be a cut. It would be a fucking BFG shot.
Yeah.
He would just hit you, and then he would shoot you, and he would hit you with a BFG. It'd be like Monster Hunter's level 3 in Infinite.
Mm.
But instead of the bomb, it'd be the BFG.
Or like Terry Bogard. Just fucking, yeah. Like, just throw him in there too. No.
Honestly,
SNK has absolutely no representation. I wouldn't even mind.
If it's going to be another fighting game character like Terry, it's going to be Heihachi. Namco's helping make the game. It's so weird that there's no Tekken character in there.
Because they got Pac-Man. Yeah.
I also love Heihachi.
They decided on Pac-Man. They also announced Luigi's Mansion 3.
Sure did.
Which is really shocking because I'm like, oh yeah, this is Luigi's Mansion game for the 3DS that I'm probably not going to play.
Well, that's just one Luigi's Mansion.
So yeah. I'm like, yes, and put it on the console that people want you to put it on.
Were you actively booing the screen during the 3DS segment?
Because
I was booing.
I wasn't booing, but I wasn't in love with that section.
I was like, boo.
Am I booing the fact that Dylan's Roland Western is not a big, cool
fucking
action game Dylan on the Switch? Smash. Yes, I am. But
Dylan needs to be... Dylan needs to be more popular so that he can be in Smash.
But he needs to get over, but he can't because he's stuck in the 3DS quagmire.
Yeah, it's such
with children.
He's such a cool character. It sucks that it's not a bigger deal. I really like Dylan a lot.
Like, if he was big enough, if they, like... given that release what it should have been and spun it off, he could be in Smash right now. No,
as a playable character, but because he's not a huge deal, he's an assist, and that's fine.
That's what he deserves right now.
It's what he deserves right now. But I love him enough to hope that he himself built
this path of cobblestones
with fucking tower defense. Anyway, Luigi's Mansion. Like they announced it's co-op as well, so.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's going to continue to be what it is. And
they didn't say who's making it because some American developers helped make Dark Moon. Not helped make, but like the developer behind Punch-Out and Super Mario Strikers made Dark Moon. And it's unclear. I didn't see whether who was developing this.
Oh, yeah. There was the bundle that they announced.
The ugly bundle.
The ugly bundle that doesn't have the game in it.
The Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Set. Has a download code. You know, like a big box with a piece of paper in it?
Yeah.
Are we pre-ordering it? Okay. You're just looking at it. All right.
Yeah.
When
because
Smash come out again?
Because it's got the... December. Because I saw a tweet of like someone had just... They just took two stickers and put it on their Joy-Cons and like just peeled them left and right to create the Smash Cross. Because that's exactly what you're getting with the actual...
So yeah, you get the bundle, but the download code isn't active until December.
How exciting. Yeah. The fact that bundle comes with the regular controller and not the GameCube one is baffling to me. That's weird.
Well, they want to get that money.
I do like the actual case though, having the Smash characters on the left and right.
I don't know.
It's I like it.
It's okay.
Nice. I'm hoping that they're kind of silver. Like I'm hoping they're kind of shiny. I can't really tell based on the photo if they're just white or. Like reflective or not, but
I don't know about any of you. Nice. But aside from portables, I don't care about special edition consoles. I don't care.
I completely agree.
I don't care about the Spider-Man one. I never cared about all the blood red Xboxes.
I've not even looked at the Halo guys on them.
I like faceplates. I think that's a cool thing. Yeah. But ultimately, yeah, you don't really look at them that much. And when you do see one, you kind of go, "Oh, what is that?
But why is it the portables are different? And I see that fucking
because
link
it's
between
on you all the
3DS
time, and it fits in your
awesome.
Pocket. It fits in your pocket. I guess it's always on you. It's like a phone case. In that case,
like I wish I could skin. I had the balls to skin my Switch to be all white. That'd be awesome. But I'm not.
Like at at DreamHack, there was all these like play PS4s, and someone brought out like the Black Ops 3 one, and it was like, what the fuck is that? Is that some weird laptop?
Yeah, dude, it's the Codblops.
You know, like it just it takes you by surprise every time. So
Codblops, it's a surprise every time. I never played that Blackout beta. I hope it's. I should talk to Max about it if he liked it.
Talking about surprises every time. How about that Super Combat Fighter?
Yeah, no. This I'd seen.
Take
this
it
at,
away, Matt.
I've seen this at PAX East, and it's just a guy. It's just like think about if Kenny could make a game right now by himself. It would be Super Combat Fighter because it's a huge homage to Mortal Kombat. Digitized Mortal Kombat, and it's in Kickstarter right now.
Now we've seen a lot of
and we've played a lot of
Steam games that are doing the Mortal Kombat thing, but what makes Super Combat Fighter stand out?
As far as I can tell, I haven't played the game actually. We might get sent a bill to check it out, but okay. It seems like it's like, you know, it's going to be silly and over the top and stuff, but it's still going to have sound mechanics and you can have fun with it outside of like a silly context and stuff. And like the Kickstarter video is like one of those classic like
Strafe
faux 80s 90s promo things. If you want, you can be in the game. And I'm like, cool, we can get Zubaz in there maybe. And they're like, no, you're in the game.
It would have to be you.
You have to be physically fit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and
you're the one that's getting digitized into the game. So. Yeah.
And you can see there's like crazy modes where you're giants and you're attacking each other. So,
you know, the stakes are much higher when our guts are on the line. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Our full on fucking all of our flop and excess skin is actually on the line. How badly do you want that Baz joke now, idiots?
Emotionally slapping against each other.
Do you have the balls?
Boy, that really slaps.
I don't.
The only thing I'd say about this is that, like, Super Combat Fighter is not a great game for what this looks like. I always thought it would be called, like, Immortal Combat or something like Super Combat Fighter.
I mean, the name almost fits into, like, Super Nintendo, you know, like, in that way.
But, I guess so.
But, like, I can see, too, that you can tell that it's, like, back in the day, if they could have had the sprites look this
high-quality Mortal Kombat remake that I showed you guys that you blew up at.
Yeah.
You were like, what? Yeah. When did this happen?
You've got, like, a bunch of, like, color-coded ninjas, right? Yeah. They're actually called Ninja Team. So, yeah.
Okay, that giant fighter bit where they can grow into
giants.
Looks pretty cool.
Right, blood and gore and fatalities. Anyway, so this is Super Combat Fighter on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's asking for like 50K.
It's asking for 45 Canadian K.
Wow.
And it's currently at 13.
So it needs a bit of help.
That's like six American dollars.
With 25%, 29% funded with 25 days remaining.
So it's possible.
Mm-hmm. And
they even have Kino from Ninja Turtles.
Starring
in the game.
Surf ninjas.
And I didn't know he was in the rundown with The Rock and beat him up. One of The Rock's earlier movies.
Oh, I remember because the trailer had the whip in it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
I remember the rundown. You see, the problem is that I sometimes confuse it with the trailer for Walking Tall.
Nah, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Right on. See how this looks. See how this goes. Although, yeah, it really brings your balls into question when it's like, get yourself in the game. Okay, but do everything that entails. Don't just send the stupid Zubaz art down and fucking go do it, idiots.
And email us once or twice. But
you have to fucking, let's see, new challenger, pledge 5,000 or more, be in the game as a fighter, immortalize yourself. Design your own character, perform your moves, but remember, this is physically demanding.
Damn it. Remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
I can do it. I can't do it.
I mean, you could do it if you decided to make a character that was like fighting out of like some kind of like toilet Ganmen.
Yeah.
You know, like
MODOK.
Like ride armor, you know, then you could do it.
You can do it. All you really need to do is to put your ass into it, and then you can do it.
Put my ass into it?
Yeah.
What about your back?
You can, if you, that logically follows after the ass.
Ass, back, but.
Do you have that new Capcom bundle in there?
I do. Cool. Yeah, we can go there. I was going to go into something else that was weird.
Go ahead.
No, let's pull it up. Where are we at? So the Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle got announced, but also...
It's coming out tomorrow. Got announced and is coming out tomorrow.
Delayed on PC, however.
That would make sense if this was supposed to be announced last
week. So the weirdest thing about this is, like, 2 days ago, the day before this got announced, I just decided out of nowhere to turn on...
It's fucking crazy.
My arcade machine and just play through all of Captain Commando for no reason.
Yeah.
I just felt like playing Captain Commando suddenly I don't know, and I did, and I played, and I beat it. And then I saw that big old beef girl in it, and I was like, "Yo, Plague, do you know about this beef girl?" And Plague didn't say anything because he didn't say anything. I don't know why, but either way,
he's busy beefing.
But the Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle immediately after I beat the game got announced. It's almost as if like I created this bundle.
Yeah, you did it. You created it.
It's almost as if Capcom once again tapped into my brain.
That's right.
And stole my brain. So, and now we've got this giant bundle with a fuck ton of games on it,
actually. This is 7 games. Now, let me see if I can remember all of them. Final Fight, obviously.
Yes.
Captain Commando.
Yes.
Warriors of Fate.
Yes.
Armored Warriors.
Yes.
Battle Circuit.
That's correct.
Knights of the Round.
That's one.
That's 6.
Are you looking?
No, I'm not. Knights of the Round. Not Punisher, of course. Not AVP, which should be.
You're missing one. You're missing one.
Fuck.
You remembered way more than I would.
Yeah, it involves a king.
Knights of the Round.
He said that.
Of.
King of Dragons!
There you go.
Oh, no.
So, Beat 'em Up Bundle, specifically showing off the Switch version here, like you can just fucking grab a Joy-Con and go in, because what do you need besides 2 buttons and a D-pad?
Like a lot of, all of these are quality. Like Final Fight's obviously aged the worst of all, but like
I really like Knights of the Round.
Knights of the Round, I always had a huge problem though, was sometimes I'd feel like playing this and I'd accidentally boot up King Arthur in the Knights of the Round. And sometimes when I felt like playing King Arthur, I'd boot up fucking Knights of the Round.
Have you guys actually played Armored Warriors?
Yes, it's amazing.
It's incredible.
Armored Warriors. Yeah, I pitched that for a best friend's beat 'em up, so we never got around to it because it's 3 players. Now. Yeah. And you can combine. Like, it's so sick because you straight up do a Gattai and everybody gets to control part of the mecha and you have these combo forms.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, what if you took, you know how much we love Cyborg Justice? Imagine if you fucking had Capcom make a beat 'em up Cyborg Justice Seek follow up.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's more or less what Armored Warriors is.
That'd be pretty okay.
Also, the art that accompanied this announcement is
gorgeous pieces
super
of art.
Good.
By 3 different artists, I think.
Max put them out there.
Bengus is one of them.
Max put them out there, but there's just new art with all the beat 'em up characters hanging out together. And they're all really nice. And if you have any love for these old characters, this is like super awesome to see them getting like some.
And a lot of them are the who's that?
Yeah,
of beat 'em ups.
And the centerpiece around Captain Commando and Cody is the oil drum with meat on it because they know
good old fashioned street meat.
And then there's a couple of the knights from Knights of the Round just kind of staring at nothing. A guy is hanging out with a horse.
Did you know that Captain Commando, for short, is Capcom?
I did know that.
He was their mascot for a while.
It's the best.
He's cool.
It's the best.
I would love...
Do you remember the villain? Do you remember the final boss of Captain Commando?
I don't remember.
The final villain, the ultimate evil of the universe?
Was it SNK?
Scumicide.
Scumicide.
Strong. As strong a villain
90s.
Name.
Very 90s.
Saturday morning. Wow. Just like Captain Commando.
Wow.
And imagine Captain Commando and his commandos. Baby Commando. Ninja Commando.
Mac the Knife.
Mummy Commando.
Yeah.
But Mac the Knife, yes.
No.
The fucking future Bushin Master. Like, the fact that the lore all wraps in.
So as cool as this is, it'd be really cool if they can make somehow talk to somebody and get their licensed ones in there, like as a second beat 'em up bundle, like Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
But how do you do that
Punisher,
together as a bundle?
AVP, I don't know.
Tough. Who do you split that no money with?
I don't know.
Matt, think it through.
No, absolutely not.
Think it through.
Just get AVP.
And then release it, and then the people that made Predators get that cut. And then Capcom's like, what was the point of this?
Let me play it legit.
Take every penny that it makes and fucking slice it down the middle. What else is there? There's AVP, there's Punisher.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
And probably like one or two other things. D&D.
D&D.
But they already D&D's. Well, they already did.
They have the ability to do that.
And I think that got added with backwards compatibility on the Xbox One, but I don't know for sure. But still,
I assumed that Mystara isn't part of this bundle because they can sell it by itself.
Oh, and they already put out
on the Switch.
Not a Switch, no. But there was a recent.
No, we D&D know we port. Played it, but like still,
because Shadow of Mystara is amazing.
And hell, put Final Fight 2 or 3 on there too. 3 is still really rare, like in terms of physical copy. Nope. The only place I know you can play it legit is the fucking Wii U. So
not enough people know about Scrap Dunk.
Not enough people know about the final boss, Black. He's just Black.
Anyway. Oh, fuck. Man. Yo, push Scrap Dunk.
Scrap Dunk if you could.
Push Scrap Dunk. Push it. Get it over.
It's so under. It'll never get over. What else we got?
Happy to announce that Tetris Effect is coming out on November 9th.
Yay!
All footage continues to be just fucking visual sex. Because, it just looks perfect.
It's pretty.
It just looks perfect. Everyone mark your calendars for November 9th.
Dust off your VR. Is it exclusive to VR?
It's not exclusive to VR.
Thank goodness.
Awesome.
It is VR compatible. But this glory
that's how it should be.
Is optional, as it says here, right on that Tetris Effect.game website. We got a new collaboration studio that is interesting that got announced. 2Kyo Games, which is a combination of a couple of known folks. So, in particular, 2Kyo Games announced their existence earlier this week, including the director of Danganronpa, the composer of Danganronpa and 100 Sleeping Princes in the Kingdom of Dreams, illustrator of Danganronpa and Fate Grand Order. We got the director of Ever 17 and Root Double. The writer from Ultra Despair Girls, I guess. Oof. Also, the Ultra Despair Hagakure. I don't know if that's the same thing. Is that the same thing? Let me just find out.
I probably know. That's just the name
Ultra Despair doesn't seem... Yep. Ultra Despair Hagakure is a novella centered around Yasuhiro. Okay, so it's a side story that came out. Got it. And the director, and Kataro Ushikoshi, the Zero Escape series director as well. So they're all basically announcing they're working and collaborating.
Hey, it's the Japanese visual novel guys.
They're all coming together and they've announced in a strange thing that you don't usually do.
We're making 4 games.
And they announced, not 4 games, four projects. And they've straight up announced what these 4 projects are. And they're all like bullet point pitch, like introductions of these concepts.
Fat raccoon on that.
So the first one you got is
Trash Panda.
Project number one is a game. With Kodaka and Uchikochi, joint scenario Limit Cross Despair.
Jesus Christ.
A video game that features all the creators of 2Kyo will concentrate their abilities on. The genre is not revealed yet. Kodaka and Uchikochi will make
Safe
the scenario
bet
together.
It's a visual novel.
I have a strong suspicion that it would be a visual novel.
I mean,
novel.
The art is definitely right out of Danganronpa, so, you know, like, they're pulling it all together. Some you know, very Danganronpa looking characters here, but also some more
Dangan likes
extreme character designs, I'd say. Including Skullman horns in the back there.
That was just like a guy from Frank Frazetta.
And Gorbachev
paintings.
In the upper left.
That's
there.
True, yes. Too. Project number 2 is an anime where everyone is a villain. An anime in collaboration with Studio Pierrot. And they have, again, just a promo picture of, like, a cast hanging out. And they're just telling you right away what the what the project is, more or less. They will depict an image of action films such as Pulp Fiction and The Professional. Project 3 is also a game.
A children, please read this
A children's death game by children for children.
That's the name of the podcast.
What the fuck?
It is very shocking.
Like, yeah, that's really what they're pushing here. Kodaka is general manager. Uchikoshi is third scenario writer, so you're going to get your 999 flavor. And, of course, Death Games is Uchikoshi's fucking, like, forte. Mm. So, school children playing a death game. It is very shocking.
Shocking.
Much shock.
Ooh-ah.
You are shock.
I am shock.
And Project 4 is a game, Spike Chunsoft X Cross Tokyo Games, dark fantasy-esque mystery. It's a lot of words.
That better be the final name.
These are all visual novels.
And this is someone in a dark sci-fi fantasy-esque mystery.
The anime is a visual novel.
Staring at a landscape of cyberpunk-esque architecture.
A couple of weeks ago, there was a Nintendo Indie event, and they unveiled a game where you play as this annoying goose and you attack people.
Yeah, isn't that Donut County?
No.
It's Untitled Goose
Game. Untitled Goose Game!
And that's the final title.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, you're right.
What, like, that's how you make games.
What about it?
Great.
That's it.
Okay.
I want that to be the final name of this game. Is like some games will just be like, or that is our final name.
Or they don't. They never come out with a project. They never escape the project title.
I hate the project.
So they just call the final thing Project Whatever.
Yeah.
They get it. It's like, oh, we got attached to the project name in development. Did you? Although Project Katana would have still been a really cool
game. I was just thinking that. And Project Dolphin.
Yeah, you know. Oh, can't hate that.
Yeah.
So that's two Kyo games. And that's two as in T-O-O space K-Y-O, not the number two. Hey, did you guys see pictures of Joaquin Phoenix just hanging out? Just being a normal guy?
Yeah, and then they decided to take pictures of him.
So Joaquin Phoenix was just hanging out, being a normal guy, and then they took photos of it, and then they put them out.
And they said, this is Arthur. Filming a Joker movie.
This is about Arthur.
What?
This guy is just hanging out, and his name is Arthur.
Go. I don't get it.
So there's this, they announced a while ago that there's a Joaquin Phoenix Joker origin story movie that was being made that is unrelated to any other properties. Did you not catch that when they announced it?
Yeah, I did.
Ages ago. Forgot about it.
So this is the first screens of this unannounced, or rather, this rated R Scorsese fashion.
Yeah.
Joker origin story. And
so did you catch a few weeks ago when they announced that Alec Baldwin was going to play Thomas Wayne, and then he immediately
backed
out?
I did catch that.
It's so weird. Who does that?
I saw that. What's his name? Mad Men.
John Hamm.
John Hamm wants to consider doing Bruce Wayne. He'd make a Bruce Wayne.
He'd make a Bruce Wayne.
I don't know how he'd look in the Batsuit.
Yeah, but everyone doesn't. You know, everyone looks weird at first.
Generally.
This sounds really exciting.
Joaquin Phoenix is a very good actor.
Oh, absolutely. But
he's like Jared Leto without being Jared Leto.
Yeah. He has that, like, greasy musk.
He has that quality.
Yeah.
Without the Leto-ness.
Without the insufferableness of being Jared Leto.
Because Jared Leto's also a very good actor, but he's also Jared Leto. So, for all your pros and cons, I do like Joaquin Phoenix. This is going to be a weird one. There's not enough information to form an opinion off of, except for they're showing you a character that looks like a guy, and it is not at all what you'd expect the Joker to be or a thing. Of course, this is probably going to be, again, a self-contained, it's Joker in its own world type situation.
I guess.
Much like Venom in his own world can be a thing.
I suppose so.
Wow, these are all really good, novel, and successful ideas.
No, Venom's not out yet, but
I'm sure it'll be great. and I say that with all confidence. So great.
There is the announcement for Catherine the Full Body.
With its new trailer. Details.
Second gig.
The third character is now called Catherine with a Q instead of just
Rin. Yeah, she didn't have a name when
she
this
was Rin. Announced. She was originally Rin.
Oh, wait, she did. Yeah.
But who cares about that
now
shit?
Now it's Quathrin.
It's all about them voice packs.
So this game has one, has a new cat, Quathrin. It has 11 selectable voice packs for Catherine, so you can choose what you want your Catherine voice actor to sound like, which is nuts because that's a lot of recording.
Yandere was one of the choices.
Wait, is it the same actors reading the lines differently?
It is different actors.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Every Catherine voice pack is a different voice actress.
Well, I guess since they're not like remaking the game too much, like there's new stuff, but they're not making a brand new game, I guess the
there's apparently just that. Like way more new stuff than I thought. Apparently there's like hundreds of new scenes.
Maybe they'll fix the weird stuff.
Doubtful.
Hopefully.
Hope not.
I hope they add more weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can choose your type for Catherine so that if you want her to hate you, you can. If you want her to love you, you can. If you want her to be nice or mean or crazy.
There's also the announcement that came at the end of this trailer with the fact that the Phantom Thieves are just showing up.
That's so weird.
And you can control Joker
and
fight against these manifestations of fear of your future in your dreams as Joker while the Phantom Thieves cheers him on.
That is so bizarre.
And there's also a screenshot of all the Phantom Thieves at LeBlanc looking at Trisha.
Yeah.
Just hanging out, Golden Playhouse style.
I'm in your house.
But she's got two afros and a weird twin.
Two afros.
She's rough and tough with her afro puffs.
It's Mickey Mouse in it.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I really don't like that. It looks awful compared to her original afro fun hair.
Maybe she just gets it for a bit. Maybe she's just trying to.
I think it's trying to be like, hey, look, sequel means two puffs. But it's I don't
the,
like
the. What about the sequel to that?
I don't like that.
How would you even have three puffs?
Obviously.
But how? Where would they go?
You remember Jada Pinkett in The Matrix?
Nope.
I do.
Okay, well, just think about that.
Okay.
Niobe.
Yeah.
She has little mini puffs.
I remember drove up at the end of that scene.
Well, if you can make two puffs, you can make three.
Okay.
You know, jamais deux sans trois.
Not a big expert on hairstyling.
No problem. I got you.
What with the bald?
But did you watch the movie?
Yeah, but
The Matrix.
Yeah,
you don't remember.
I don't remember. This is
But yeah, so the Catherine box set is fucking, it's got a million crazy things in it. And like 11 voices to pick from and a ton of other shit. So
the question is whether or not those voice packs will have English variants. Are they going to go to that extent to get 11 different voice actresses in English?
It's a weird thing because it's a very Japanese thing to pick all these voices. So they might not.
That's a good question. It would be cool. But yeah, either way, I feel like Dacid Bureau just willed this into existence, because this is going to mean that Catherine finals at EVO will be even easier.
Much easier.
Mm.
There'll be a code to unlock tournament mode. Just do it at the main menu.
But yeah, fix the weird stuff, guys.
They'll add more.
Take that puzzle shit out. That's the worst part.
No, the bad weird stuff. Speaking of bad weird stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's Aaron Paul up to, you ask?
Oh, no, not again.
Joining the cast of Westworld Season 3.
Oh, bitch. Could you imagine if it's just Jesse Pinkman? Jesse Pinkman.
Okay, rich. That announcement changes my demeanor entirely. Like, Jesse Pinkman joins the cast of Westworld.
Yeah, I'm here to fuck some robots, bitch!
That's completely different, and I am way on board for that. However,
Aaron like this Paul. Line. Certainly, it'll be better than his film career, like when he was in a Need for Speed film.
Did we forget about that?
I guess we did.
I didn't even realize that happened.
It did. It did. Hey, man. BoJack Horseman's doing all right.
Yeah.
Aaron Paul's still hot. He's he's a commodity.
He won an Emmy.
He's doing good.
Did he win an Emmy? Yeah, he won the Emmy.
He has a distinct voice that I enjoy.
Sure.
Anyway. So yeah.
Jesse, get out of here.
The people that made Papers, Please.
Making a different game.
AKA Lucas Pope have announced their latest game, The Return of the Obra Dinn. And this looks like very strange, but it's a puzzle game. And it's
just saw in the description, it says you're playing as an insurance adjuster.
And
in
you are walking around on a pirate ship, and pirate ship things are happening.
That's a neat art style.
The art style is very cool. Like, it's hard to describe, but it almost feels like you're playing this in... It's a 3D game, but it's almost like you're playing it on a TI calculator.
Yeah,
like it's very monochrome. Or something.
Really go check it out. Return of the Obra Dinn. And yeah, you seem to be a passive character in a world where people are being pirates. And you have to, I guess, deal with that while solving puzzles of some sort. I don't know. I don't care. Papers, Please is one of the best games I've ever played. I trust this guy. I trust Lucas Pope. I trust this will be great.
Interesting, at the very least.
Yeah. And if he's taken years to, you know, kind of put this out as the next thing, it's probably got some really good ideas in it. But yeah, lots of what look like flintlock pistols.
Looks like it might be a monochrome pirate boat version of Cryostasis, if Matt remembers that game.
I do.
What's Cryostasis?
It is a Russian ice-based horror game on a crashed ice ship in which you walk up to ghost things and recreate the final moments of people's lives in order to solve puzzles. It's kind of like Ghost Trick, actually.
A little bit.
Kind of like Murdered Soul Suspect?
No.
Oh.
And it predates Murdered Soul Suspect.
By about 5 to 10 Russian years.
Are you sure it's not like Murdered Soul Suspect?
I'll be real. I'll be really real with you right now.
I forgot what you do in
that. I don't remember what you do in Myrtle.
I also heard
Myrtled Soul Suspect. Whatever. I don't remember what you actually do in that game.
Myrtled Soul Suspect.
I don't remember. Almost most of that game.
You walked around through
walls. You find
walls.
Ghosts and you solve their murders.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember getting caught as a rat in some tunnels. In the church, I remember the ending, which was very bad, and I remember skulking around a big orphanage fighting ghosts with self-attacks. That's all I remember, that whole thing.
So the Return of the Obra Dinn has this really cool... I love these like old-school like handout flyer ads for the ship. The ship name is the Obra Dinn. And the music is pretty cool in it as well, in the trailer, if you check it out. There's a short demo build from a couple years ago that you can actually try out.
Oh, really?
Huh, never heard of it before.
Okay.
Gotta go play.
It's even got the Papers, Please font sometimes, too. Anyway, so that's what's going on with him.
Cool.
Game Freak at the Nintendo Direct announced a new game.
What's the new game?
Town.
Not Pokemon. It's just called
Project Town.
It's just known only as Town. Not even Project Town. Yeah, just Town.
Just simple Town.
Is that the project name? Or working title?
Red-haired, spunky character running around, doing things, helping villagers.
Kind of reminds me of Dark Cloud.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Little King's Story.
Okay, I see that too.
I see that as well.
Fights a big red-nosed thing, and there's a combat system that looks interesting, but I can't make out what exactly it's doing.
Yeah, I also can't.
You're kind of it's like you're picking these gems, and then there's like a progression thing. So one character has an idea, thinks of a light bulb that pops up, and then he grabs the idea light bulb and throws it. But yeah, this is just Town by Game Freak.
Interesting.
Game Freak makes good games. Between this Pokemon and Drill Dozer.
Harmonite was another one that they did a few years ago on the 3DS.
Let's see what the fuck this is. And is there anything else detail-wise? Nope.
Okay. Yeah, it's literally the description of the trailer, so not much to go on beyond that.
Industry giant. Yeah, that's true. there's that. And yeah, I guess just more of a little fun heads up is if you ever wanted to go back and watch classic Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
They're throwing all that shit up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for his 25th anniversary, Team Coco
put out... Pimpbot 5000.
They put out the Pimpbot 5000. You know, but you remember the characters, yeah, the masturbating
barrel.
Yeah,
that's why I said it, because I remember.
Oh, yeah. Where Triumph got his origin story. So they put up the first episode of Conan, but, like, they're going to be putting up all of his NBC stuff. In commemoration of 25 years. So, dude's still at it.
Does he play any video games on his old show?
No.
Darn.
But he does in the game, in the spinoff show that it's all about playing video games, because Clueless Gamer became its own thing.
You saw that stupid Sherry travel to Japan to the Conan town?
I didn't watch the segment, but I saw the photo of him with the Yakuza jacket.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Became the Conan patriarch.
I don't know about you, but I fucking watched a shit ton of Conan back in the day.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to enjoy this. Although, like, I really enjoy going through the best ofs that they did over the years, because, like, let's be real, like, this is literally years and years of content.
4,000
episodes. When are we going to get the back catalog of Andy Richter Controls the Universe?
Do you actually want that?
Hell no, I don't.
Then you just bring it up?
Jeez. Yeah. All right. It's tangentially related.
They tried.
For the name drop. Yeah. What about oh God! Something Patterson, it was the show that Costanza got after Seinfeld, where he was a motivational speaker.
Yeah. And
his life is a mess, but he's trying to help everybody.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember the exact name though.
It reminds me of Andy Richter.
Yeah, no.
Controls the Universe, because it was a similar... Bob Patterson.
Yeah, Bob Patterson.
It was totally just like, wait, what is this?
Why?
George, what are you doing?
Why is this?
That's unfortunate.
Did you not see Joey? This won't work out.
Yeah, oh, but Joey. Oh, my
okay,
God,
but you
dude.
Say that, but then look at Veep, right? Veep fucking won tons of awards and is doing super well.
The fuck is Veep?
Oh, Veep, yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
But to be fair, that was like, that's like fucking 20 years later. She tried a couple of shows in between that didn't work out.
Also, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's great.
Yeah,
Jason Alexander's great as Larry David.
Just saying, you know, any random Seinfeld character that could get a spinoff. Unfortunately, there was the curse.
Where's Kramer's own show? Oh.
the curse existed where people from Seinfeld couldn't get really anything going.
I can't believe Joey's the one that got the spinoff, man. Should have been Phoebe.
Nobody else wanted to do it, though.
Yeah, well,
I don't think.
Phoebe did get a spinoff in the form of The Comeback. It's really good.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's really funny.
It's not a real spinoff. It's just
it's not actually about Phoebe. It's about the actress that plays Phoebe.
Yeah.
And it's a good show. Breaking news.
Give me some breaking news.
What's this here? Nintendo Switch Online. NES games can be played offline for up to 7 days.
Yeah, it's a version check to make sure that you own the plan.
So you might lose your digital games if you're offline for more than a week.
Yeah. Everything, we skimmed over it. Everything about Nintendo's online thing is, like, laughable.
It's also really vague.
It's really vague. It's really bad.
The only thing I'll say is that its prices are the best.
Yeah! Its price is the best because it's the worst.
It feels... Everything about Switch Online stuff is felt as reluctant as you can get for this generation.
Like, we're still on
They very codes. Much don't really want to commit... Like, no, they're committing to online, but, I mean, it's very reluctant. It's very, like, toes in the water, even though we're years into this.
We're still on friend codes. This stuff with the NES games, locking your shit offline because of a version check, which is the thing everyone got mad about with the Xbox One.
Are we
still
on friend codes? I added some friends on the Switch without typing in a friend code.
I have never had that work. I've had to use the fucking friend codes.
Yeah. I've had that work.
No, I've typed in names and just added people.
The voice chat is still limited to your fucking smartphone and that nonsense. Fuck. Just use Discord.
I'm just disappointed that it's still just NES stuff. Like, I thought you were taking such a long time because you're going to be like, here's everything, you know, or here's a lot of stuff.
You know what the worst part about that NES, what is this called? The just NES classics?
It's just NES games.
The worst part about it is that I watched it while chatting with some people in Discord, and a friend of mine who's like a crazy emulation person was able to tell at a glance that they were using the shitty Wii U emulators. You know the Nintendo emulators that they made that are like accuracy and color worse than any emulator you can get on the market for free? Like, these aren't just ROMs that you buy. They're also bad versions of the game in some cases.
So yeah, their price point is $4 for a month and $20 for a year. So that's dirt cheap.
Like, they killed Emu Paradise so that we could get these shitty versions of these NES games.
Or you bought, if you bought the NES Classic, you also have a bunch of those too.
Yeah.
Because, again, a lot of people are just rebuying titles at this point, right? It's just a matter of like where you want to play them.
I will say that the lineup of NES games is actually quite different than I would think. Like, there's a couple of like random oddballs that I don't remember. I don't think they're on the Wii U, but then again, I haven't checked that in a couple of decades. So I'm like, that at least bodes well to get stuff that's out of the general virtual console like loop that they'd always just have. It'd be the same usual suspects over and over, and they're certainly in here, but it's like Ninja Gaiden 1 is cool. Like,
so the cloud save part's the worst part by far.
Why?
There's two reasons, and I went and checked with the other companies. So Steam keeps your shit forever because it's decentralized, whatever. Xbox's cloud service is free, just like Steam's, and is forever. PlayStation Plus.
I haven't gotten any. Like, whenever I've had a Steam game and I come over here, my shit is not.
Well, they're not. It's not a system wide feature. It's the game.
Certain games
turns it on.
Okay. That's
the game decides to use Steam Cloud, and then it becomes on the publisher. But then it's forever.
That would make our lives a lot easier.
Yeah. Xbox is for everything, and it's free, which makes it by far the best of all of them. PlayStation's is for everything, and they don't guarantee that your shit stays if you unsub for 6 months, which sucks, but it's 6 months, so it's unlikely that your shit will lapse or that you don't have the ability to do it.
Put your shit local before you unsub.
Nintendo says we can't guarantee that your shit won't just be deleted instantaneously upon the fucking lapse of your sub. And they also won't be enabled for all games.
Yeah.
Such games that we already know the Switch will not allow cloud saves for are Dark Souls, Pokemon, and Splatoon. Two of which are first-party titles. One of which is Pokemon, which goddamn would losing your Pokemon save be disastrous. Would that not be disastrous? Wait,
Pokemon what?
Of any Pokemon that comes out on the fucking system. Pokemon Eevee and whatever.
Okay, that's
Pikachu.
Weird.
That game won't support cloud saves, and neither will the later on Pokemon.
What if I want to hang on to my 13 gig Final Fantasy 15 save with all my photos? Have you guys noticed that that game save files are absurd?
What does that have to do with this?
No, I'm just saying, like the whole thing about like they're deleting your saves or like keeping it going. That I'm just thinking of that game in particular and how that's probably the worst perpetrator save inflation. I've seen all generations.
I fixed that by going deleting all the photos.
That helps.
It's like this. Every game that I actually wanted to use the cloud saves for with this service said, "Oh, we're not going to allow it for those games to prevent." Like the Pokemon one is like they don't want to have people duplicate their Pokemon because they need to prevent cheating. But Pokemon is already rampant with cheating on every single version on every platform and is in fact the de facto standard for competitive play. Because no one has time to grind up those Pokemon for competitions. You just hack them in with whatever fucking thing that you do. It's nonsense. And the thing about the save data with the cloud that makes it really worrying, if your Pokemon bank subscription like waivers for one day, they delete all your Pokemon. So your saves will probably disappear the day you unsub from the Nintendo online service. But as Matt said, luckily, it's dirt cheap.
So weird that, like, everyone is not just doing the best existing version of these services.
They literally don't understand. They still don't get it.
I mean, I guess you can't keep it dirt cheap anymore if that's what you're offering, though, right? I guess you have to actually, like, You can't go at $4 a month if you're going to be hosting people's cloud shit indefinitely. Or at the very least, until further notice. Anyway.
Sure. I'm getting a lot of people messaging me that I'm super wrong about the Pokemon Bank thing.
So what's up then?
I don't know. I'm not getting anyone saying that I'm... with a correction, I'm just getting people saying that I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, it's quite possible.
When you find out what that's about, let us know. In the meantime...
It's more likely that it's just random then, whether or not your shit disappears when you're unsubbed.
We'll make the correction in the correction segment, because that's more or less what's coming up as we go into letter time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If you want to correct us on anything we've ever said, and God knows there's a lot of it...
Send a letter
to
in.
Willie's Twitter, that's at Willie Wolzen.
No, that's... Yeah. No, actually, send Pat's mistakes to Pat, and send not Pat's mistakes to Pat.
Well, we don't need to tell them to do that, because they already do that.
But we have been getting the... at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com letters that begin with the term correction.
Oh, no.
You know, so that has continued to be a thing.
Willie, what are you doing? Stop dragging that. Oh, no.
For example, corrections...
Oh, no.
Hey, Super Best Friends. Nothing to do with the actual game, but more about when Matt was utterly disgusted with the name Phonon in Undernight.
Yeah.
Phonon is an actual scientific term being given to a quantum packet of discrete mechanical vibrations.
Is that a real word? And both of you were like, no.
Well, I didn't know.
And we all didn't know. But.
Think of an atom like a sphere held by springs in all directions, causing a small back and forth vibration in that system. Similar to how the word photon is the name for an individualized packet of light. That's it for your science lesson today. Yes, it'll be on the test. Next time you see a bullshit stupid name for a character, think that it might be a bullshit stupid name based on some crazy ass science. All the best, Jordan, Queen's University Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.
Damn.
Motherfucker.
Because I think I was thinking of proton.
Yeah, proton
cannon.
Sorry, I think it was thinking. Yeah.
What science term is Ragna the Blood Edge? Faculty man.
Well, a blood edge is actually as you approach a fucking...
Yeah, fucking...
Let's take one over here. Donovan says, I was at a poster sale looking to buy something for my dorm room when I saw a bunch of posters that were literally for nobody. For instance, a poster for The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, man.
My question is, what's the worst poster / decoration you've seen in someone's dorm or apartment, whether it be big anime titties or a poster of something that's just objectively bad? Shout out to my cousin Estelle from Donovan.
Estelle.
Yo, Estelle. I don't know, man. The only posters and shit I can think of are ones that I've seen at your places. So, like, and they've all been stuff that, like, makes sense.
I have a friend that's a part of the anime Air Dashers, the FGC, and they, like, so here's the thing. You go to his place for casuals, and the fucking titty hentai posters and Faku merch is just all over the walls.
I can't.
Alongside other things. But it's out there, and it's aggressively in your face. And I remember just being like, wow, this guy puts his shit out there and wants everyone to know about it. But later on, I realized it's not even like it's off-brand, because he also wears anime titty t-shirts and Ahegao face-like shirts.
He's living the dream.
And he's just aggressively always wearing hentai. So you can't even... He's that guy with the porn on his fight stick. Absolutely.
Nice.
It's like you can't really say he's inconsistent about it.
Yeah.
If anything,
be consistent.
If anything, he carries it through to the end.
Like, I'm very inconsistent with this shit.
And he wins. He's a fucking top player, so...
What's the art school in near Oakland, Ontario, the big one?
In Ontario? Yeah. Oh, OCAD?
No.
Sheridan?
Sheridan. There was someone's, because they had like a, you know, dorms up there, and I was visiting, and someone had a poster of Mars Needs Moms, which is a super obscure and shitty CG movie. And I was like,
wow.
I didn't really say anything, and I didn't ask why, I just assumed it was because they didn't, because they were still in that someone they liked, a friend, perhaps a professor they really liked, may have worked on it.
That's stunning. That's a stunning piece of merch.
That's the only thing I can think of, because there's some other person. Because in the Sheridan College, there would be posters for really bad shit movies that everyone hates.
Yeah.
But they're proud of them because they did good CG work or whatever.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So there would be lots of, like, Over the Hedge with Avril Lavigne and Bruce Willis.
There's something to be said, though, about getting free posters walking through, like, Future Shop or some shit. Yeah. Like, because never forget that, like, one of the things that Liam would love to do is wear that Broken Destiny t-shirt, right?
Killstreak.
Or just, like, random merch from random handout for game that you wouldn't think about in your life again ever.
I'd feel weird if I went into someone's place, and even if they really like Call of Duty, they have a Call of Duty poster. There's something off about that.
I'll agree with that.
Because it's always a gray picture of a zoomed up shot of a gun or like a guy's like visor or whatever. I'm like, that's not like.
That's
not visually interesting.
Get ready for Blackout, man.
I had an Assassin's Creed poster in my old room right above the couch, if you guys remember.
I do remember.
And that was just like, you know.
It was a holdover from the time.
Yes,
that's fair. Yeah. I mean, everyone has stuff like that.
By the way, I got a text in regard to Pat's Cloud Save comment about the PokeBank.
Wow, people from all over the world.
Basically, Cloud Save had blah. Is the PokeBank is basically Cloud Save and has been unstable for years. Sometimes it deletes all your Pokemon immediately after you unsub or up to 6 months. Sounds like that, but worse.
Okay, so the reason was is I heard from somebody who told me their shit disappeared as soon as they unsubbed. Okay. So I guess that's just luck of the draw. So if you're going to have a sub service like that deletes your save data after a while, if you're going to do that, one, that sucks. And I didn't know that about Sony's until like I looked this up. But at least tell people how fucking long it is, right? At least tell them, hey, it's immediate, or it's 2 weeks, or it's a month, or something.
Next one is coming in from Juan. He says, "Dear Super Best Amigos, have you ever started doing something ironically that ended up creeping in and becoming an actual habit? 10 years ago, my friends and I started..." Yeah, like that. He did a silent dab, for those of you who couldn't hear it.
Slap.
Couldn't hear it.
The slap noise is for people at home who can't hear the dab.
Again,
I miss 2015, too.
It's beyond the point of irony even working anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You're really not ruining it for anybody.
Oh, I'm ruining it for a lot of people.
You're not, because
annoyed right now...
No one holds on to the dab. I want you to ruin more current things.
Well, you need to tell me what they are.
Fortnite dances.
I can't do that.
Even that's kind of...
It's super easy. Ass.
Also, that ruins Scrubs, so that's its own thing.
Like, you throw your stupid fucking arms to one side, and then you cross them over to the other one, and then you spill your Red Bull, and then you ruin it for everybody. Ruin the current shit.
No. I'm ruining the old stuff that everyone likes.
I saw a GIF of like 100 kids at a party in a room doing the Fortnite dance.
Yeah.
And it was fucking cancer.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Old man.
It's just kids having fun.
Yeah, for real though. You sound like a fucking old man. Think of all the fucking dork shit you did when you were their age.
Sorry they can't be as cool as your Metal Gear Solid movie.
My Metal Gear Solid movie won awards, my friend.
Yeah, won awards.
Dances
from losers.
Can win awards.
I created a film project, a film budget and a program in my high school with that shit.
You know what, man? You are taking away for one brief moment the curmudgeonly old man title from Pat on this week's podcast to complain about that shit.
Your dances are stupid, says Naruto fan.
No, run like this, stupid children. This way is cool. My arm's back.
So what's the question?
It's just when it hits a...
You ever started doing something ironically, but then it became unironic?
Yes. 10 years ago, my friends and I started calling each other bro as a joke.
Oh, man. That's a good one,
that's
bro.
Good. That's
and before
good.
We knew it, everyone was bro.
Yeah, bro.
More recently, it happened to me with emojis while texting. Now I fear I'm dangerously close to saying a song fucking slaps and actually meaning it. I've never heard that one.
I don't know.
That is new, by the way. That song Slap, that's where I got that from.
That shit slaps.
But it's only for music. So I'm using it for everything badly.
Gotcha. Well,
boy, that question sure slaps.
I really don't like the term stan. And a lot of that weird Twitter lingo is pretty awful too. But anyway, have you ever started doing something ironically only for it to become unironic accidentally? I think there was a brief period, it was about a year, when the Kevin Smith talks first started happening, where me and some people I hung out with started using sir a lot.
Oh, I remember that.
Like, oh, sir, I don't know about that, sir, because that was basically, like, it was just a lingo thing that was funny.
Right.
And so because it was a thing we were laughing at the time, we just started using it to make certain things funny. And then that's where, like, sir, that, like, things
sir,
like that came
from. Sir, you need to put your pants back on, sir.
And then that went away, you know.
Really?
But I can't think of any others where it accidentally became a real thing.
Yeah, it's like a subtle thing. It's hard to remember.
All right.
I'm old.
No one's gotten anything. All right. Well,
I'm already doing many things ironically.
It's a good question, but we have no answer.
Should I start smoking weed ironically? That's a cool thing that people like.
On 420, so that you can finally call yourself Smoke Blunts 420.
420 every day.
It's every day, bro.
No.
Oh.
Don't correct me. That leads to accuracy, which is
you know what
I'm
you should start doing.
Yeah,
you should start doing challenges.
Oh.
Whenever new challenges come up, you should do those.
So I watched like hours and hours of that shit
last week. Which one?
Like
there's like fucking 80,000.
I'm gonna eat 10 pounds of butter. I'm gonna
No. They're beyond that. Now you have to do like the ones that are associated with like Drake or the ones that are like that creepy face bug eyed girl or whatever. There's a creepy Momo.
Don't worry. We know about that.
We did a Momo challenge.
Did you? Was there a game with Momo in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's good.
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
I thought it was the frog girl from that game.
I thought it was Froppy too. Oh. First time I saw it, I thought it was Froppy. It turns out Momo's not Froppy.
Turns out.
So I was corrected. Turns out it was
much to my surprise.
Do the cinnamon challenge. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Edward says.
I was going to say, do you know that one line in Spider-Man where he's like, you guys need to stop trying to challenge me. Maybe you should just stick to your stupid cinnamon shit or something. He's fighting a bunch of guys.
Hey, Super Smokin' Style Cast. I recently started playing through DMC4 thanks to your playthrough and all of Nero's part. I struggled with X-Act, Max-Act as a result of... I barely made use of the sword's main mechanic.
It's tough as shit.
It also reminds me of what happened when I went through Onimusha 2 and 3 with a similar problem with the Isen mechanic.
It's tough as shit.
Something about the timing of the attacks just didn't click with me. So my question is there a mechanic in a game that you couldn't get the hang of and so you just beat the game without it?
Style switching in DMC4 is the easiest answer
for
me.
Sure, that's a good one.
I never got good at switching between them in a fight. I would just pick one before every fight and use it.
That is a good one.
I remember there was a mechanic that they tried to push pretty hard, but I'm trying to remember what it was in Mad Max. And I'm like, I'm not going to fucking do that. I'm just going to punch things and then I'll be fine. It was like a buff. It was like a upgrade tree or something. And it kept like saying like, do this or, you know, this point is really useful. And I was like, no, I can do it without it.
Damn.
But there's probably a better example of this.
I don't know.
Oh, blocking in Mortal Kombat.
I mean,
I can win a match or two. I'm happy.
Like DMC3 lets you stick to a style if you like it, so that's not really a thing I'd go to.
Yeah.
I remember early Bloodborne. I remember I had a really hard time getting used to the idea of you just got hit, so go in.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Because you're like, but I'm about to die, you know? Like, the idea of, like, you took damage, heal it by going, get aggressive to heal it back.
Because it's the opposite.
It's the opposite of your instincts. And it took a while to get the hang of that. But yeah, that's all I can think of, I'd say.
I want to say there's, like, a character in Overwatch. I'm like, I never used that.
Oh, there's a bunch of characters in Overwatch. I never got.
No, like... a character I like, there was like...
That has a thing you never
thing
did?
I didn't use it much.
Ooh.
I know.
That doesn't sound good.
There's like a character I liked, but I didn't play.
Okay.
So maybe that's why, but I can't remember now.
We got one coming in from Chris. He says, Dare SBF Nocturne featuring Wooly from the Devil Take Pie series.
That is fantastic.
It's not bad.
I've been listening to a backlog of podcasts. Recently came across one of the former and current... recently came across by one by former and current game journalists discussing PS1 Resident Evil games. Mm-hmm. The early parts of the discussion were fine, and they brought up the interesting facts about the original. However, when the host started gushing about RE2... One of them, after discussing how the zapping system was supposed to work and what it changed between scenarios, casually dropped the fact that they never actually played either B story and thus never actually saw what the zapping system does.
Are you fucking serious?
More importantly, they never actually finished RE2. This would be fine for anyone to admit, even a game journalist, but then goes on to discuss playing post-game content like Hunk and Extreme Battle Modes back in the day. Content would only be available to people who did beat both B scenarios at least once. So, including moments of crazy talk, what are your favorite, most memorable moments of supposed experts showing their balls on stream?
I'm a big fan of Snoop Dogg lighting a blunt while his game still keeps getting played in front of him on stream a few weeks ago. That was really great.
He just stopped playing the game?
No, he's playing, fuck, I think it was Overwatch. What? He's playing Overwatch, and his hands are below the camera line. He's playing it. He's like, oh, hey. And he lights a blunt and starts smoking as his character keeps moving in front of him.
No.
It's amazing. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, his hands are just off camera?
His hands are usually off camera, and then he just starts smoking weed, and the game keeps going.
Why, Snoop?
You didn't think.
Snoop, why you got... God. Snoop.
This comes from the same man of, hey, meme this.
Snoop. Snoop, if you suck, it's better. It's okay. People will still like it.
The Verge recently put out PC building article and video that shows all sorts of shit wrong with it that can destroy your personal computer. They showed screwing in the wrong screws that can puncture your motherboard. They don't apply thermal paste at any point in the entire process. They route things wrong. Like, it is shocking that the thing fucking booted, and if people followed that tutorial, it could, like, destroy hundreds, like, if not thousands, of dollars worth of shit.
Multiple steps are flawed?
Yes. Okay. Multiple steps are flawed.
Okay. I mean, current favorite, and gonna be for a while, is the music in Devil May Cry 5. You know, like that's just a strong.
But none of those
contender.
People are supposed experts.
No, but definitely being like, yeah, it lacks the bombastic soundtrack that it used of the older games is like, that's a really funny thing.
Oh,
to,
I'm sorry. To sorry. Occur. They used too much thermal paste. My bad. Which is just as bad, honestly.
I think when Murphigator is running on Double Dragon Neon and the people that directed the game from Yacht Club or from Way Forward at the time are watching, and he's like, yeah, this is double damage, but I don't even know why it says that because it's not actually double damage. And they're like, yeah, we couldn't actually figure out how to make it double damage, so it's actually like 2.9, so it's almost triple damage. And anytime he's like, I don't know why this happens. If I duck here, these missiles just stop. And he's like, I don't know why that happens either, because they're watching them speedrun the game and they have absolutely no answers to a lot of the fucked up things that are in the game. And it's not even stuff that's really hidden. It's some basic info, and they're just like on blast the entire time.
You see, people like that are just miracle class bug testers.
Yeah.
In the wild, you know? That's the person that comes in with the briefcase, and like you just let them rock with your build for a while and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Their super best Hurricane Florence distractors.
Yes, I've been seeing a lot of that lately. Stay safe, everybody.
Yeah.
On Friday, September 14th, Xenoblade Chronicles 2's DLC, Toma the Golden Country, released. I was excited for this DLC despite ultimately being disappointed by the base game.
Mm-hmm.
Loved Part 1 and loved X, but 2's change in tone, slow story, character designs, and gameplay mechanics. Overall lack of polish upon release greatly disappointed me. But I've still come to appreciate the game for what it is and what it does well.
Mm-hmm.
The DLC story, however, blew me away with how it took almost every issue I had with the base game and fixed it, removed it, replaced it with much better alternatives. So the shitty gacha system is gone. The battle system isn't as repetitive as
really?
Slow. Main cast is made up of new characters with good designs, and the characters with the best designs from the base game, the tone is more how I like it, and the game is infinitely more polished. Has there ever been a DLC for a game you played and ended up liking more than the base game? Because there's a great piece of DLC for a fix that's a lot of the problems that you have.
I did not personally play it, but everyone that I knew who played Minerva's Den for BioShock said that that was so much better than the base game.
There's a lot. Yeah, I never played it either, but that's that comes to mind.
I've heard that multiple times.
Didn't Infinite have similar things with the Return to Rapture stuff and everything as well?
I don't remember what people said about it.
It was pretty mixed.
Both BioShock.
Yeah. So there's that.
That game. Let me think.
Jetstream Sam was fun, but it wasn't better than the original game.
No.
I've heard from people that are like, I like Red Dead Redemption, but I can't do it.
Zombie Nightmare
there's
was nice.
So much, and they're like, the Zombie Nightmare thing is perfect. Like, I'd rather just play that.
I've got the reverse, in which the pre-LC was better than the main game.
Well,
Dead Rising 2
and Dead Rising K-Zero, 100%.
Dead Rising 2. There was also...
Dead Rising K-Zero was way better than Dead Rising. Like, it's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Easy. Free. Scholar of the First Sin adds Maria, but also adds the... Orphan of Kos.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I don't think... hold on. Freedom Cry for AC3?
No, it's Black Flag.
Black Flag. Okay.
Like, Liam, other people have also said, like, that was great. That was a great piece
But it was for a good game already.
A lot of the Assassin's Creeds at least have one or two good DLC things that, you know...
Trying to think, it's a pretty rare phenomenon, but it totally happens.
Where they fix everything afterwards,
and like this is very specific because we can't include things like a new revision of a game or an expansion of a game like Civ that just adds
stuff. Yeah,
no, we're talking self-contained, about like a separate self-contained thing.
Campaign.
Blood Dragon's really good.
Good one.
Solid.
I don't know if it counts. I really don't know if it counts.
Because it's so fucking crazy.
No, not Blood Dragon. I'm just thinking, it's like, I don't know if Dark Arisen for Dragon's Dogma counts, because the area that they add in Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is of a completely different structure from the entire rest of the game.
But it's added into the game.
Yeah, it is added into the game, but I'm like... Because it is essentially Dragon's Dogma does Dark Souls.
Well, if we
and it is a whole extra game of that type.
If we count Souls games, right, where you go into a teleporter and then end up in the DLC world, then...
Oh, well, Artorias is better than most of Dark Souls 1.
Yep.
And,
yep.
What was it? The first Dark Souls 2 DLC is better than...
Ivory King?
No, not Ivory King. The King Underground with the pyramid, the ziggurat.
Oh, shit.
That is better than almost the entirety of Dark Souls 2.
Wait, isn't that, what's her name? The girl that she calls in an ad?
Oh, the queen.
The queen that...
Yeah.
Yeah, a queen that of Ash?
Yeah, no?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. That boss fight sucks, but the dragon boss fight afterwards is amazing. And
yeah,
because
that boss fight is not great.
I'm talking about the zone in particular.
I do remember.
Because Dark Souls 2 zones were its biggest problem.
Sunken Crown?
Sunken Crown. That's it.
What's the one with Alon?
Alon? That's the Ash Ember one, whatever, the second one.
Yeah.
Ash
that has there. Alon, and it has Fumite, and that is absolutely
Those are the best bosses, yes. But the zone is awful. Do you remember how
I
bad
do.
It was?
I remember the run. I do. Old Iron King. Yeah, man.
Ring City's really good. I don't know if it's better than Dark Souls 3, but it's really fantastic. I've not beaten it.
This is an interesting phenomenon.
Send us more of these.
Yeah, I like this a lot because
like,
we know it happens, and I know there's stuff that we're forgetting.
I definitely know there's like campaigns that were like much better. Like perhaps, you know, one of the Arkham games had like these really concise, smaller campaigns that I think like did some improvements.
Azura's Wrath epilogue. Yeah, if you count getting your ending, I guess. Or Pop Zero.
Yeah.
No,
Pop Zero's wasn't that great.
What was Mass Effect 3 Citadel?
It was DLC. That was... I didn't play it, but I have friends who did. And it is basically the best thing that Mass Effect ever did. It is a DLC that is supposed to be the absolute absolute last thing you ever do before you beat the game.
Okay.
Because it is you guys going, okay, well, we might all die. Let's have a big party with every character that has ever existed in this story.
Okay.
And it is, and you go on little fucking goofy hijinks college adventures with every single fucking member of the cast.
And it's a total non-canon.
No, it's canon.
Oh.
This party happened.
Okay.
I think Blasto's there. The fucking Hanar movie star. And all, like, it's goofy as shit. And it is like, it is all
Are people that are dead there?
No.
That's what
if
I'm trying
died,
to
they died, they're not.
Okay, okay.
But it is all the goofy, yeah, let's hang out moments that permeated that whole series.
Right. Okay, okay. That's fun. Someone said...
There's only one problem with Citadel, and it's a big problem in all of Mass Effect 3. As you're having that party, 1 million people died on Earth.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like, Mass Effect 3 has this massive structural problem in which they tell you 1 million people on Earth are dying every day that you are doing anything. So when you're doing a side quest for some guy's shop, you're like 1 million dead
humans.
Or
taking care of fish.
Wow. Okay.
So, like, that whole game suffers from that real bad.
Someone just said Batgirl's campaign is better than all of Arkham Knight.
Okay, well, that's easy. That's real easy. I mean, if you're talking Fallout expansions, probably Old World Blues is better than anything.
That 1 million people problem is a thing that I'm sure there's got to be a trope name for.
Yeah.
I was really recently reading about something else, like another movie.
The world's going to end in 10 minutes.
Well, not just that.
But I got to take care of my plants.
The other version of this, it was a movie that basically it was like horrible amounts of catastrophe and casualties in the final battle occur. But the heroes defeat the villain and then kind of hug and have a laughing fade to credits as everyone laughs happily.
And it's like 40% of Earth's population is dead.
And it's like, how could you possibly have these emotions? Like, these emotions fit the end of your emotional journey. They do not fit the
reality
of the situation.
Or and you're standing on 1 million dead babies.
The most ridiculous break of immersion.
That's called the Man of Steel.
Sure, sure. There's got to be a repeating name for that, but that's a fucking bad
Lois,
one.
Oh, Lois, let's make out over 1,000 9/11s.
And whatever you do, don't turn up the sound mix so you can hear everyone screaming while we kiss.
Last Jedi had that.
Oh, it super did! Last Jedi absolutely had
Last
that.
Last Jedi had that.
It had a wild,
really bad version of that. It's true. It's true.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. Like, did you?
All right. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good question. I like that a lot. What is happening?
What
is happening?
Life.
Life.
General.
Life as we know it.
Being tales. Tales are happening. Tales of life and of the Borderlands. Is happening.
Yeah. I heard that a guy shot a Torg gun in that show, but it didn't shoot rockets. That's not correct. All Torg guns shoot rockets.
Well, anyway, that's a fun story, and that keeps going, and I keep...
That's what I heard.
Enjoying and loving the fact that I've
been a while. Right?
I love the fact that I forgot how much I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Excited that you never completed it, so you can see new shit. See
oh, did you never actually complete it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a special kind of excitement.
Yeah, yeah. I never wrapped it up. Like I said, I was playing it with the lady, and we just never got around to finishing the last two episodes because time and stuff. But Tales of the Borderlands continues. We did some one-offs.
Yeah, those should be
to help
this week.
Help pad the shitstorm prep downtime.
Me and Wooly got to go sit down and polish off the last 45 minutes of Devil May Cry 1.
Just kind of, you know, tilt the bottle kind of thing.
We're right there. It's
right there.
We ended at mission 21 last time. No idea what we'll play next. Don't even have any single clue. Not even a one. Have no idea. That Devil May Cry 1 was really short, though. We kind of thought Devil May Cry would be on the channel for a lot longer.
And I guess that's all that's running besides those quick looks we took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so far.
And shitstorm prep continues for all you wonderful people who like to see shitty, spooky games and occasionally some real gems.
Did you guys see how much people enjoyed, like, walking through the systems of Unist?
Yes, I did.
They enjoyed it a lot.
Mm, I've heard.
Just pointing it out. And I guess then, like, well, what is it?
Today's Monday, Wooly.
Yeah, it's the 17th, though. I was like, how close is... Oh, it's not that close. All right. Well, anyway.
Okay.
Well, I was how close is Shitstorm? I'm like, oh, it's still another two weeks away. So, I mean, some stuff has to be sorted out, I guess, recording-wise. But, yeah, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
What was the...
Get excited for Shitstorm. It takes place this year during November. Ha, I fooled you.
No, I was going to say, like, are we going to start doing more one-offs then to kind of help?
I guess we're
going
to have to.
Right? That should...
But then it's like, when Shitstorm is done, then we, like, have, like, there's no pressure.
Go back to normal, man.
Go back to normal. So, 2 more weeks of unnormal.
Of not normal.
But taking a look at some one-offs should be a good way to help out the schedule. In the meantime, of course, you can always supplement with content.
Yes, from many supplementary sources.
Other places, such as...
Of Vision Entertainment. Oh, Matt's eyes were closed.
Such as Yawn.
Wooly pointed at you, but your eyes were...
We didn't actually
closed.
Get to talk about this, but if there's ever a day where I'm streaming Super Seducer, the next day I will be hungover and tired.
No, that's totally in the first 10 seconds of this podcast.
Can I talk about that for 1 second?
Yeah.
He just takes Pro Jared's footage...
What?
...and puts it in the game to make fun of Pro Jared.
I guess he's allowed to.
Is he?
Because it's Pro Jared's footage of him playing his game.
That's weird.
It's fair
That's
use.
That's bizarre.
It's fair use of fair use.
I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still weird, right?
Uwe Boll can do it.
Yeah, and like, I don't think I'll say exactly why, but if you look it up, it's terrible the way he tries to take a clip and try to flip it and be like, look at how gross this YouTuber is. That's not very nice. And I'm like...
Didn't he fire a missile at Jim Sterling?
Yes,
no,
he did.
No, Mahmoud did.
Oh, well, whatever. He had missiles fired at Jim Sterling.
Excuse me.
So, yeah, no, it's fine. He gets a bunch of his friends. Mahmoud is an older gentleman of Middle Eastern descent. And he's just like, here's how you date someone if you're kind of an older guy and you're trying to date someone that's like, you know, 10, 20 years younger than you within the legal limits,
classy.
Obviously. And he's like this character, and he's used as the guy that shoots the nukes at Jim Sterling. So it's kind of horrible. Anyway, but yeah, on the Flophouse, like I said, I'll take a quick look at Senran Kagura Reflections. It's stupid. And I did a lot of research
on
Tomb Raider Angel of Darkness for another What Happened episode. Did you know they flirted with it being an episodic digital download
yes.
in 2002?
I did.
That might have been good.
I actually used to be a big Tomb Raider fan, and that game was the one that killed it out
of me. It killed it super hard. It killed it so fast that if they had delayed it one more time, Eidos might have gone bankrupt. So they had to get it before the fiscal quarter ended. And if they hadn't, and Core's begging them, let us polish what we have. And they're like, no, because if we do, we have no money. This has to go out now. And, like, it didn't kill the brand, but it did for a couple of years.
That is a tale as classic as Cain and fucking Abel.
Yeah.
Is producer and developer. Deadlines, profit.
No, the game will be good. We don't have any money.
But here's the thing.
Deadlines, profit, polish, and...
That's the last one. Integrity.
No.
Intelligence.
Because it has to be
justice.
Because like, I'm like
commitment.
It has to be a triangle and you can only pick two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
here's the like they made four
staying in business.
Yeah.
They made four giant environments, and the Tomb Raider Angel of Darkness box game has two of them. And they were going to separate the other two to be the digital download that you would download onto your PS2 console that could barely function online. Then they're like, there's no infrastructure for this. There's no way we can do it. Ah, fuck it. Let's just release them in a sequel called The Lost Dominion, which never came out.
No.
Okay, let's do that. The problem is that all four environments are in various states of development, so let's just cut out the two that are the most along, despite the fact sequentially through the storyline, they don't add up.
Great.
That's why the story is such a mess, because they have bits of stellar story that has no lead up.
It's almost like they should have dropped it and restarted the whole thing.
They almost should have, kind of. But yeah, that's coming up hopefully in the next week or two. So that's me.
Gotcha. What's going on, Pat?
I'm going to be streaming Spider-Man over time. Or maybe some other bullshit. I don't know. Over at Angry's Pat. Sorry, twitch.tv/Angry's Pat. You can sometimes also catch me over at twitch.tv/PeachAlive if she's doing some bullshit. That's it. That's easy to say. I'm done. Come watch that when it goes live, and you'll be bored, but maybe not.
Over on Wooly Versus, it's every day, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So we've been doing...
yeah, bro.
Every day near Automata.
Dab the pain away.
Route C. Or Naruto. Currently just... and a lot of people are jonesing hard for Nier.
I saw...
And, you know, we got to let those people know that you've seen the end of that session.
Yeah. There needs to be another one.
More has to be recorded.
I saw.
So there won't be more until I record more this week. In the meantime, however, the adventures of Nalt continue. And the third iteration of this LP is by far the most fun and entertaining.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Because
we're all sitting there in the costumes.
So for no,
it was you. Then you had a Reggie.
Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm back in has gone through different versions, and the first version of it was me just doing an edited LP, talking to myself, trying to figure out what the fuck I was doing and why.
Yeah.
Eventually, I roped in Reggie along for the ride, and we both went through these Naruto memories together. And recently, Billy has joined the group, and the three of us are going through it and then interrupting whenever the game skips over important bits or flashbacks or moments to literally go watch Naruto on Netflix.
And it is all there.
And we are time-stamped watching full fucking moments, going over them to get what we missed in the games, and it is a blast.
I saw a clip of you talking about what if Itachi just let Sasuke win early. That was real good.
Man, oh man, it's a really good time, and the fact that we're seeing dumb shit happen, fucking crows going into Naruto's mouth, like, over this is great. The best way to supplement goofy Naruto shit in the game is with actual Naruto shit in the terms of real footage from it. So,
but that Fortnite dance is really stupid, huh, old man?
So if you want to come alongside and watch Wooly, Reggie, and Billy literally just watch Naruto and also play the game, I guess, please tune on in to Back In over at Wooly Versus. And, of course...
Back In for a while.
Yeah. And, of course, the other projects continue.
When are you going to get back into Bleach?
I was never...
Ah, back out?
that was never in the cards.
You can have that name for a series for free. Back out.
Aizen floated away into the clouds, and so did I.
Oh, no, what'll happen next?
There I go. I tucked my hair back and fucking called it a day. That's over on Wooly Versus.
Oh, man. Oh, God, I'm sleepy today. I'm going to go home and nap.
Okay, well.
Don't end the podcast on that. Please, God. Say something interesting.
No. Nothing. We got nothing.
How about this?
Yeah.
Predator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Predators? The Predator?
Is it better than Predators?
Where are we going?
This is way worse, even.
I think it's slightly worse than
Predators. I couldn't get a feel for how bad is bad.
It's slightly worse than Predators. Very slightly.
Like, you haven't yelled at me to force me to do it like an Alien Covenant style thing.
Oh, yeah, and you still need to do that.
It's in one of those... Is it in that place?
No, it's because Alien Covenant is like a 2. where I hate it so much.
Does Alien?
But it's interesting.
And it doesn't feature weaponized autism.
Does Alien Predator slap?
I'm gonna slap you.
No, that doesn't slap at all.